go.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this Friday on the front porch, the 11th day of August, 2023. This is the Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room, the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between in the great globe round. And where if you pop in right now, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That's Theo and Squeaky and Kid Mark and Anatole. Hi, gang. Thanks for being here early. And, welcome anybody that wanders in, please. All, of course, capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, not to mention Fermentation Specialist, Roger, in Oregon. Hi, I'm Robin. The podcast, well, you listen at your leisure, but if you're listening to the podcast, it would be wonderfully helpful if, in fact, you'd like and subscribe wherever you take the podcast, whether it be Podcast Republic or Apple Podcasts or iHeartRadio or TuneIn. We're still trying to get to 1,000 individual listeners at TuneIn. And we get there when you, if listening on TuneIn, click that little heart button. And, well, it'll be a red letter day when that does happen. But nonetheless, thank you for listening. Leave a comment for the algorithms to see so that they'll note that, folks are listening. And we'll slowly but surely continue to grow this little community. Like I said, it's Friday on the front porch, and every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, so consequently we say thank you to our 11th day of the month subscribers. That means thank you to Tony and Chico, one of our longest standing subscribers. Thank you to John in Maryland. Hey, John. Thank you to Christopher in Oregon. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep this little liberal, independent, progressive, non-commercial, non-capitalist effort afloat for nearer and nearer to 20 years, which, like I said before, absolutely blows my mind. So where do we stand in terms of trying to keep this little effort afloat? We are $1,730 in the hole. And we badly need to crawl out of it because, well, among other things, right now the power bill and the telephony bill are the main focus. But, yeah, $1,730. Gosh, that's only 10 people. 10 people at $173 each. Oh, my goodness gracious. Or one at $1,730. Let's see. I don't think I can do the ciphering, much of the ciphering beyond that. But just the same, one step at a time, we'll get this brought down. It would be great if we weren't looking at a $2,000 fundraising hole on Monday, the 14th of August. So that's that. Let's start with the obvious. Little hearing today in the nation's capital. Nitwit Nero had a hearing on the protective order motion by Jack Smith, the special counsel. And Judge Tanya Chutkan, bear in mind, Nitwit Nero could not be bothered to show up. But Judge Tanya Chutkan issued a warning to Nitwit Nero's pettifogger, John Lauro, and said, even arguably, because remember, we're here, and they were there, because Nitwit Nero said, if you come after me, I'm coming after you. Even arguably ambiguous statements by the parties or their counsel, if they could be reasonably interpreted to intimidate witnesses or to prejudice potential jurors, can threaten the process. I caution you and your client to take special care in your public statements about this case. I will take whatever measures are necessary to safeguard the integrity of these proceedings. And she means it. She absolutely does mean it. She ain't fooling around. But she's also offering up a great big coil of rope via which Nitwit Nero may, and probably will, hoist himself on his own petard. Now, the day was more or less of a loss for Jack Smith. And Judge Chutkan said, well, you know, Nitwit Nero, can share some sensitive material. Some. And went on to say that the government hadn't met its burden for why Nitwit Nero should be subjected to a protective order for all the evidence should be subjected to a protective order. But she also said that certain records from disclosure to Trump that he wanted to share, like excerpts from the transcripts of witness interviews and recordings, would be protected. She said he could share any records that are already in the public domain or that he obtained independently. But he can't share grand jury stuff. And he can't share things that came from sealed search warrants. And then she slipped the shiv in a little bit and said, he is a criminal defendant. He's going to have restrictions like every single other defendant. This case is proceeding in the normal order. I don't know that it is. Have yet to see that he was told to surrender his passport. Right? We still don't have a number, a dollar amount, for his personal recognizance bond. Even if he has been released on his own good behavior, a bond is only as good as the amount of money that undergirds it. But Judge Chutkan did try to make things clear enough that even an addled orange moron could understand it. The fact that the defendant is engaged in a political campaign is not going to allow him any greater or lesser latitude than any defendant in a criminal case. The existence of a political campaign is not going to have any bearing on my decision, the judge continued. On Friday, the pettifogger John Lauro said,
This kind of blanket order is extraordinary. We have to face the fact we are in uncharted waters.
But they aren't. They aren't in uncharted waters. This is just another criminal trial of a criminal defendant, who, my personal opinion is the greatest criminal ever to occupy the White House. So, Judge Chutkan did tell the pettifoggers that she would be watching what Nitwit Nero says in public and scrutinizing them very carefully. Meanwhile, the prosecutor said, oh, for God's sakes, please don't let him view anything, any sensitive evidence in a room by himself, because he has shown a tendency to hold on to material. So, Judge Chutkan did some baby splitting and said he can view the evidence without his lawyers present, but he can't have any access to electronic devices. Again, it's a frustrating order. But at the same time, I think it's necessary in order to show the extraordinary degrees to which Judge Chutkan is going to be fair to this shambling orange miscreant. And as usual on any news story, stay out of the comments. It's just good policy. Moron, says Steve in New York. We shouldn't dignify him with that designation. I give you morans. And the eponymous Get a Brain Morans photo going all the way back to dim leaders' war against the innocent people of Iraq. By the way, Ralph says, come on, everyone. Don't make me sick Lassie and Kayla on you all. You don't want that. You don't want that. So, and by the way, at 17:30, that means the entire week is unfunded, and all but $70 of last Friday is unfunded. So I guess job one is getting last Friday funded. That's $230, and be great to get Monday funded, so that when we roll around to Monday, we're not still looking at, you know, a full unfunded week, because that's how, by the time we get to the end of the month, that is how we wind up in $1,000 holes. Okay? So there's that. And I've got a note here from Prog Dog. Cute name. Prog Dog in San Diego. Subject line, televise the trial. Hey, Robin. I've been listening to you in the Horn community since the early days, if not the beginning, of the Scott era. And I just want to express how much I miss him. The mold is broken. He will never be replaced. You're right. You're absolutely right, Prog Dog. And it continues to be a heaviness on my spirit, and I suspect the spirit of the rest of the Horn Family Community Congregation. On to business, though, Prog Dog says. While listening to yet another engaging conversation yesterday between you and Todd, the topic of televising the Trump trials came up briefly. I have no expectation that Judge Aileen Cannon the trial she presides over will be televised, since I've heard she even wants to ban all electronic devices of any kind from the courtroom. The trial held by Judge Chutkan, however, may have a better shot at being televised. Former federal prosecutor Glenn Kirshner has come up with what may be a masterful argument that I'd love to hear discussed by the legal brain trust on the Horn Front Porch today. I'm not one for participating in social media, but if the porch thinks this argument holds water, then the community should spread the word and send the letter shown below to each of their representatives in Congress to help ensure that our nation and the world is well informed in the most open and transparent, you'd think I wouldn't screw up a word like transparent, way possible. We should not have to rely on the corporate mouthpieces, pundits, and shit spinners to interpret what's going on in the courtroom, although they will do that anyway. We need to do this because, after all, to quote Kirshner, justice matters. So here's the draft that Glenn Kirshner suggested. He mentions it on a YouTube video. It's as follows. Dear elected official, in my case, that would be Dear Carol Cat Lady Miller, or Dear Joe Manchin, or Dear Shelley Moore Capito. In count four of his most recent indictment, Donald Trump is charged with victimizing the American voters by conspiring to deprive us of our right to vote. As crime victims, the American people have a right not to be excluded from Trump's trial. This is really pretty brilliant. Which will be held in Washington, D.C. I'm asserting my rights under the Crime Victims Rights Act, 18 U.S. Code, Section 3771A3, not to be excluded from the trial. Given that the courtroom has a limited capacity, if the trial is not televised, I will be excluded from the courtroom in violation of my federal legal statutory rights. Accordingly, I respectfully request that you do everything in your power to ensure that my legal right to attend Donald Trump's trial is not violated. Thank you, sincerely, you. There, Glenn Kirshner has set up what I think is a fairly brilliant stratagem here. Because what's the other argument?
Dear Judge Black Lady, I am a supporter of Donald John Trump, and he has a right to not be humiliated in front of America. I'm a Trump voter, and I demand that this trial be conducted in secrecy, in darkness.
Let's see, the Trump voters, well, they're not victims. Thanks, Prog Dog. It's very helpful. It highlights the fact that it is ridiculous to think that even if you've got 500 overflow rooms, or that you've got it on closed circuit TV in every federal courthouse, that's impossible, by the way. Because the judicial business of the nation is not going to stop for one trial, no matter how high profile nor how crooked, allegedly crooked, the defendant. The only real answer is gavel-to-gavel coverage of the trial. I think I'll probably put this in an email. I don't know how much good it'll do going to Carol Crazy Cat Lady Miller. Dear Carol, we all know that you pray over everything you do, and that every time you pray to the Lord Jeebus, it turns out that Jeebus wants you to vote like the Republican leader does. Nonetheless, Carol, and then into the body of the message. In closing, Jeebus wants this trial televised. Bye now. Kim in New York. Hi, hey, Robin. Hey, Kim. Thanks to Prog Dog for sharing the request for the Trump trial to be televised suggested by Glenn Kirshner. It's brilliant. Could you share where we can find the template online? I've got a YouTube link, and that's it. I don't know if it's gone out in any blog posts or anything like that. Maybe do a search for Glenn Kirshner televised trial request or letter, because it's functionally impossible for me to give out the URL. I mean, if everybody's ready with a pencil, I can read it. But it's going to be problematic. https://www.youtube.com/watch, and after this, there are no spaces. .com/watch?W=9AE. Let's find out what the title of it is. That might make things considerably simpler.
Hey, you know,
nope, doggone it. There's an A.
Keep getting paid.
The title of the video is "The American Voters, Victims of Trump's Crimes, Have a Legal Right to Have Cameras in the Courtroom." Say it again, and it's been viewed 213,655 times. Interesting comment. On behalf of all those who died as a result of Trump's COVID denial, I reserve the right to be present at his trial. Justice matters. But again, the title is "The American Voters, Victims of Trump's Crimes, Have a Legal Right to Have Cameras in the Courtroom," and it's from Glenn Kirshner's channel. So if you look up Glenn Kirshner, that might be the easiest way to get to it. I hope that helps. Emilio, by the way, pointing out the J in Donald J. Trump, the J stands for genius, J-E-E-N-I-Y. U.S. Genius. Because of course it does. And just a second. And by the way, I had a nice little afternoon today. Margie had an appointment that I had to take her to. And so we did a ladies' lunch. And on the way back, there was one of those little roadside stands, just a pop-up. You see those around here this time of year and maybe many other places. It was folks selling red and yellow and green tomatoes and beautiful cucumbers and green beans, half runners and jades. I like the jades. And new potatoes. And got some cantaloupes over the weekend, last weekend, and I just didn't measure up. Oh, but I knew these were going to be good because while we went into lunch, the cantaloupes were sitting there in the warm car and came back out. And the whole car was just perfumed with that beautiful, rich cantaloupe aroma. And got some great tomatoes. So this weekend we're going to do tomato salads and green beans and new potatoes. Going to make the cucumber and onion salad with the Eagle Brand milk vinaigrette. This is the time of year when it's easy to be a vegetarian. And I'm going to love it. Good. Kim found the video. Got it. Thank you. Very helpful. Anytime, Kim. I'm glad we could figure out a way. And the Glenn Kirshner petition video, Ralphs tells us, serving as the Horn ad hoc Glenn Kirshner petition video research department, is from 2 days ago. So it shouldn't be too deep in his channel. Should be fairly easy to find. And, you know, we often assume that people in office in Washington, D.C. know more stuff than we do, but they don't necessarily because they live in a bubble. So if you're in Hakeem Jeffries' district, or AOC's, or Ted Lieu's, or Adam Schiff's, or Katie Porter's, and I'm just rattling people off the top of my head, Sherrod Brown's in Ohio, Tommy Tuberville's in Florida, Alabama, well, we'll get to that. Nah, don't bother with Tommy the Tuber. It might very well be beneficial to make sure that these lawmakers know that there's a compelling theory out there. For why the proceedings should be televised. I guess it's too early in the process for Jack Smith's team to be talking about that, but still. Interesting. And going back to a story from yesterday, the cries are mounting for Fappy Timeshare Thomas, because he's a walking, talking, breathing timeshare, available for parties with billionaires. Calls are mounting for his resignation, not that he will, because he's dirty. And if he were to quit, it would smell a lot like an admission of guilt. Jerry Connolly again, Pramila Jayapal, Bill Pascrell, we talked about them last night. And one name added to the list. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Asa says, just tweet the darn thing. Well, I can't tweet right now. I'm doing a radio show. Maybe it's still there. I think it's Garcia who added his name to there he is. Subtweeting Kyle, quote tweeting Kyle Garcia. Robert Garcia said, make it six. Clarence Thomas must resign. Congresswoman Summer Lee said, I called for a vote to impeach Justice Thomas if he would not resign back in April, before we even knew just how much farther his corruption goes, thanks to ProPublica's reporting in the weeks since, and again today. Headline from her own website, Congresswoman Summer Lee calls for Clarence Thomas's impeachment after he accepted undisclosed luxury trips from GOP mega donor. And she's from the Pennsylvania 12th District. April 6, 2023, she said, the normalization of shamelessly corrupt, undemocratic behavior by Republican legislatures, governors, and judges at every level is testing the limits of our democracy and judicial integrity like this country has seen before. To allow Justice Thomas to be bought out with illegally accepted luxury vacations and gifts is to make a kangaroo court out of the highest court in the land. This cannot be about politics. There must be bipartisan action for accountability. Our commitment to democracy and our judicial integrity must be bigger than any party's hunger for power. It's time for a vote on impeachment. And I agree. What should have followed then, I suppose, would have been a bill of impeachment. No such luck so far. Meanwhile, and this is, it's not exactly unexpected, it appears that the state of Texas they've got a, let's use the word hankering instead of the word I was originally considering. They've got a hankering to go to war with Mexico. At first, it was the razor wire barrels in the Rio Grande. At least two people have been injured by that. Now they've added, Greg Asbot and his gang of fascists has added circular saw blades. And now they're saying that, contrary to the assertion of the federal government, that the federal government controls the Rio Grande, you know, sort of like the way that the Ohio River belongs to West Virginia, only with the federal government, because the Ohio River is entirely within U.S. territorial borders. But no, the United States government has the right to control the borders, not the individual states. But now maggots are barking and grunting and hooting and bleating and howling and shrieking that Rio Grande ain't navigable. And the government can't control nothing but navigable waters. Ignoring for a moment the fact that it's, whether navigable or not, the southern border, because they love to shriek about the southern border of the United States. And their hysteria has gone to 11. Texas is under invasion by thousands of ailerons. And they feel like they've got the right to use force. I guess they want to open fire on people trying to cross the Rio Grande. And now, because of course, they're citing, and I'm not kidding here, the myth of Noah's Ark as controlling legal precedent for, I guess, gunning down Mexicans. Arguing in a real live, no kidding court briefing,
most of Texas was once covered by seas.
That's true. I mean, the Permian Basin is a thing.
Consider the book of Genesis, which, taken literally, says the entire world was once navigable by boats large enough to carry significant amounts of livestock.
And they cite Genesis 7:17 through 20. Oh, dear. What do you fuckers mean boats? There was only one ark. You want to get literal, stay literal. It's kind of like asking Republican judges to cleave tightly to their originalism, even if it works against them, with things like keep and bear arms instead of keep and own arms. Yeah. The brief goes on and says that border crossings is an invasion.
And that the great state of Texas has the constitutional power, it's in the Constitution, to repel that there invasion to protect the health, safety, morals, and general welfare of its citizens.
And then with a truly zany reading of the Constitution, they cite the fact that the Constitution says the states can't engage in war without congressional approval unless they're actually invaded. Which leads them, via the thin gray settlings that slosh around betwixt their ears and pass for brains, to declare that people driven from their own countries, often by policies of the United States, to try to enter the United States without documentation constitutes an invasion. My favorite part of that whole line is the fact that they want to wage war on poor people because of a moral duty. I guess they didn't get around to those Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill.
Unless they're Mexicans, it's right there. It's in the Constitution too, right there next to where it says Jesus approves of everything in the Constitution. Right there.
And here's a question. If Texas persists in making more on Mexico, does the United States, you know, which is in charge of the military, but if Greg Asbot gets his wish and decides to make war on Mexico, does that mean that the Mexican army can march its happy ass over the Rio Grande and, I don't know, put a rope around Greg Asbot's neck and haul him up a tree? Yeah, this picture is of the Generalissimo of the Mexican Army, and he's looking at Greg Asbot and saying, you can sign that there surrender, or you can hang from that there tree. It's kind of the exact opposite of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, I think. No, it's not Guadalupe Hidalgo. No, it's the treaty after San Jacinto. But if Texas starts a shooting war with Mexico, does Mexico get to shoot back? And is the United States obliged to defend Texas when Texas started it? And taking everything together, Does Texas taking unilateral action against the country of Mexico constitute a secession? You know, when I first mentioned it, I thought that maybe it was a bit satirical, or maybe a bit much, or over the top for me to suggest that it's time to move all military installations out of Texas. I'm beginning to think it's not quite as crazy as it sounded in my mind when I first said it. The whole thing's going to be heard by an ancient federal judge by the name of David Ezra. He's an appointee of old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan. But he also is not, like subsequent Republican appointees, batshit crazy. So one may presume that Judge Ezra will tell Greg Asbot to roll on home to Austin. And then, of course, the state of Texas will take it to the Fifth Circuit, which is, in fact, batshit crazy. And then off to our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties we go. So we'll just kind of keep an eye on that one. A win in the state of Illinois today. Via Reuters, the Illinois Supreme Court said, yep, it's legal to the ban on assault rifles and large capacity magazines that the Illinois legislature signed into law and J.B. Pritzker, or that they passed and J.B. Pritzker signed into law after the July 4th slaughter in Highland Park. Illinois has a 7-member Supreme Court, and the vote was 4-3. They shut down MAGOT State Representative Dan Calkins, J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, said, it's a win for advocates, survivors, and families alike, because it preserves this nation-leading legislation to combat gun violence and save countless lives. So, in the state of Illinois, you cannot sell or distribute a number of semi-automatic assault rifles like AK-47s and AR-15s. You also can't sell massive capacity magazines. And Supreme Court Justice Elizabeth Rochford said the Equal Protection and Special Legislation Clauses of the Constitution didn't bar the state legislature from treating certain citizens differently than others by exempting them from the law, because the different citizens are, for instance, law enforcement officials who have actually received training in the use of the firearms, as well as members of the military and private security, and anyone who owned the damn guns privately before the ban was enacted. She went on and said the act attempts to balance public safety against the expertise of the trained professionals and the expectation interests of the grandfathered individuals. This, of course, will cause a hue and cry among the maggots that
we deserve to have equal firepower with the cops.
Well, what's his name? Craig DeLue Robertson had equal firepower with the FBI, and he came out and intended to use it, pointed it at the FBI, and the FBI wasted him. Because he had it coming. I mean, there's just no excuse for waving a gun when the feds are serving a search warrant and an arrest warrant. Unless you just want to go out in a blaze of glory shooting it out with the federales. One Democratic member of the Illinois Supreme Court, Mary Kay O'Brien, dissented. And it turns out there was some bad lawyering going on, because the mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing, picking-their-teeth-with-their-toenail-clippings plaintiffs said,
it violates our right to keep and bear arms under the Second Amendment.
Well, you know, if you ever join a well-regulated militia, I'm sure you'll have the right to bear those arms. Because the word own ain't in there. Unfortunately, like I said, there was some bad lawyering, because as the Rochford said, the plaintiffs waived that argument because they didn't raise it at the lower court level. The dipshits forgot to cite
the Second Amendment, the Holy Second Amendment, the single most sacred piece of writing inside the entire Constitution. It's in the Constitution.
and it was a direct swipe at the Bruin decision, the odious, obnoxious, hateful Bruin decision. Oh, and, you know, a couple of weeks ago, the bloodthirsty animal who shot up the Tree of Life synagogue was sentenced to death in Pennsylvania. That would be Robert Bowers. He murdered 11 people in cold blood, many of them septuagenarians and octogenarians. And once again, I mean, is it really 2018 when that hit? Yeah, 5 years ago. Well, this is one of those, fuck, it's West Virginia cases. Oh, wait, going back to Noah. Lee in New York says, they do not know that the Ark was not A, the minnow on a 3-hour tour, B, the love boat, C, a Disney cruise ship, or any other ship to get it from port A to port B. In the Noah story, everyone got on to float, not travel. Noah did not circumnavigate the globe. That was Nellie Bly in 72 days. Signed, Lee, staying in New York City. There's our first cowbell of the evening. No, this is a West Virginia story. A hillbilly by the name of Hardy Lloyd, who comes from the panhandle of West Virginia. They didn't say northern or eastern. I'm guessing eastern. Maybe not, though. Yeah, probably the eastern panhandle, because it's kind of a hotbed of Nazism and various and sundry white supremacist, white nationalist, vulgar fascist sentiment. Hardy Lloyd got busy with his printer, I presume, or maybe he hand wrote them. He sent threatening letters and emails to both witnesses and the jury, and posted stickers about his white supremacist organization, Nazi imagery. No, probably Northern Panhandle, because he went all the way to Pittsburgh to sticker Jewish neighborhoods. Hardy Lloyd calls himself a reverend. He's a Christian, y'all. Of white supremacy. And he has been charged by the federal government with witness tampering, transmitting threats, and obstruction of justice. I presume he will be tried in West Virginia. White nationalist being tried in West Virginia. Maybe it's a bellwether for... maybe John Morrow might want to take a quick look and say, maybe we don't want it, my client tried over there. Federal prosecutor William Ilenfeld said, jury trials are a hallmark of the American justice system, and attempts to intimidate witnesses or jurors will be met with a strong response. The use of hateful threats in an effort to undermine a trial is especially troubling. Somebody might want to send this news story to pettifogger John Morrow for him to show to his orange-addled client. Addled orange client, I think. Because in the other case, orange modifies addled. Shut up, Robin. On his website, Reverend Lloyd has described Robert Bowers as a lone wolf hero.
Free Robert Bowers now! We need to support anyone who kills Jews.
He posted that on a... look, what a surprise. a Russian social media site. Why do you want to bet it was Telegram?
Robert Bowers did Pittsburgh a favor. Any juror who finds him guilty is guilty of anti-white racism.
Maybe we could sentence him to death and let him share a cell with Robert Bowers? Oh, and well, how very... I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming. Apparently, Reverend Hardy Lloyd doesn't just want to massacre Jewish people. No. He wants to slaughter the transes, too. Sorry, didn't mean to get into that this early in the program. In an email that he sent, he said he would track the cars and license plates of everyone who attended Bowers' trial, and that he would dox the jurors to make sure
they voted the right way.
Oh, and he's not just any Reverend Hardy Lloyd. He's the Pontifex Maximus Reverend Lloyd. And he's got an enemies page. Has 36 names on it. Most of them he notes as being Jewish. He gives their home addresses, their workplaces, photos of their families, and contact info. One of the survivors of Tree of Life is on his list. As the trial last month drew to a close, he edited the front page of his website to,
"Remember, most synagogues have zero armed guards. Dress as a Jew and kill."
That was less than a month ago. On July the 16th, he said,
"Start shooting up synagogues."
We've had an ongoing, in good nature, discussion here about no holds barred free speech versus limitations on speech. Here we are. Does the First Amendment protect the right of the Pontifex Maximus Reverend Hardy Lloyd to call for people to dress as a Jew and kill? I don't even know what dress as a Jew means. Does he mean, you know, Hasidim? You know, with the black and the white and the curls and the locks and the hats and the... I don't know. Or will a yarmulke suffice? Does start shooting up synagogues, which he apparently spelled synoguges, synoguges. Jesus, I hate West Virginia Nazis. They're so stupid. But he doesn't miss much, Pontifex Maximus Reverend Hardy Lloyd, because this week, as in this past Tuesday, he went to, yeah, I was right, Telegram, the Russian social media site, and said he would travel to Alabama and slaughter 5 to 10 random black people. Because of the try this in a small town brawl that a bunch of drunk ass white boaters in Alabama precipitated. He also said he would travel to Pittsburgh and Austin, Texas, and murder 2 random Jewish people. He said anti-white hate has consequences. For every one white attacked or shown bigotry, we shall target 2 to 4 random Jews or blacks. Only he didn't say Jews or blacks. But apparently, Pontifex Maximus Reverend Hardy Lloyd of, oh, I don't know, Moundsville, Weirton, Wheeling. Well, the feds took him into custody, and he didn't put up a struggle. Maybe he'd later seen the story of Craig DeLue Robertson and realized that meeting the FBI with a gun pointed at them was a quick way to, I don't know, go off to Valhalla. He faces multiple charges. The worst one, witness tampering, carries a 20-year max. Please, U.S. Attorney Illenfeld, stick to your guns. Don't plead this one out. Take it to trial. Do your dead level best to make sure that he's convicted on all charges. And then when it comes to the sentencing phase, look at the presiding judge and say, Your Honor, we are in an unprecedented time. Sentencing guidelines be damned. The government of the people of the United States of America insist upon consecutive sentencing on every conviction. Mr. Hardy, Reverend Pontifex Maximus Reverend Hardy Lloyd, needs to never see the outside and be carried out of a federal prison facility feet first. Interesting, though, that it's a witness tampering and jury threatening case. I bet I know how he voted, don't you? Sure. Lou in PA with a reminder, starting this year, every Pennsylvania student will get a free breakfast. A victory in 2023. Salvador Allende died trying to get free milk to Chilean students. Yeah. Kind of irresistible, wasn't it, Flavio? Dress as a Jew? Is that like walk like an Egyptian? I think walk like an Egyptian is actually more obvious. You know, one hand in the front, one hand in back, one hand pointing forward, one hand pointing behind. The wig and the eye makeup's kind of a giveaway, too. So lo and behold, that's the filler robster. And by the way, a kind anonymous internet friend says, I got $115. It says there's another $115 out there from the Horn community somewhere in a Trump in the dock one-for-one doubling challenge. So our anonymous friend will provide $115 if 10 people at $11.50 will step up, or some combination thereof. And that will, and that's $230, and that'll get us, let me do the ciphering real quick. Yeah, that'll get us down to $1,500. That'll mean Friday's fully funded, last Friday. And that would be great. So, pretty please, can we do that pretty quick so maybe we can move on to last Monday so that we won't finish this as an entirely unfunded week? Sure would appreciate it. So would the entire Horn Family Community Congregation. Because it means that come Monday, we'll still have a program. And maybe I'll, you know, and in theory, I'll be able to pay for the telephony, and then we'll start on the clean coal-fried electricity bill. Yes, exactly, Brother Deacon Asa. Let me guess. He said, for every white targeted, we'll target 2. Meep. Or meep. That's exactly what he said. Thank you, Ralphs. We're started, so we got $90 to go on the Trump in the dock $115 doubling challenge from our kind anonymous internet friend. Thank you so much, Ralphs. So now it's 10 people at $9 or 9 people at $10. And then Friday's fully funded. Let's see here. Oh, goodness me. Roger sharing some breaking news. Julius Geezer has been hit with a brutal Friday bombshell. Lawyers from the prominent conservative, oh no, Federalist Society has published a paper declaring that Julius Geezer must be banned from running for president under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Well now, how about that? You know why they're saying that, right? Because if Nitwit Nero is the Republican nominee, he'll probably lose. To Joe Biden. Not, as Nimrata Haley keeps intimating, to Kamala Harris. Oh, isn't she awful? Yes, she is. So let's not dilly-dally or shilly-shally about. Let's get the Friday on the Front Porch conversation going. And see whither it takes us. You know, I have to say that when Maui is on fire, a tropical island, by the way, when Maui is on fire, when the lovely village of Lahaina is nothing but smoldering ash, well, you wonder when people are going to look up and go, you know, we should probably take this seriously, because it sure does look like this climate change thing is for real. And then on the other side of the planet, Norway looks like Vermont. Thousands of people have been forced to evacuate in Norway, in the southeastern part of the nation. At least 55 dead in Hawaii. And it appears that the state government of Hawaii significantly underestimated the threat from the fires. The Washington Post reporting that the environmental impacts out of the Maui fires are, as I just suggested, a terrifying harbinger of things to come. Scientists, ecologists, fearing that a humongous, much more humongous environmental catastrophe is in the offing. Post noting the fires have torn through vegetation and probably left toxic chemicals in their wake that could easily be flushed into creeks in the ocean. Experts worry about impacts on native plants and animals that aren't adapted to thrive with fire. That flora and fauna will struggle to survive in charred landscapes and polluted waters. Kimberly Thayer, a program associate at Mauna Kahalawai Watershed Partnership. I'll pat myself on the back for that. When a fire like this comes through and everything is destroyed, it hurts your soul. Yeah. The death toll is expected to rise from the 55 already known. Heather Stark at the Coral Reef Alliance said, "We have staff, family, friends, and colleagues that are facing unimaginable loss. The people are the most important right now to everyone. Among other things threatened, the coral reefs, the corals generally, off the shores of the entire Hawaiian archipelago. Any land that burned puts the corals at risk. At this point in time, six fires burned 2,000 acres. In particular risk, the Ulawalu Reef, some of the oldest reef structures in the Hawaiian Islands, near Lahaina." I'm just anglicizing Lahaina. Feels a little more and more like the planet's kind of fucked. But hey, we had time to fix this. But we didn't want to because oil company profits and coal company profits are ever so much more important than a planet we can live on. And I don't know, maybe even the wing nuts are finally figuring out that there's no planet B. And Leon Scum hasn't yet built a dick rocket that can take all the little maggots off to Mars to be indentured servants to him in exchange for oxygen. The photos of the destruction in Lahaina are heartbreaking. And Hawaii was enduring drought. I don't know if Ken's out there, Ken on the Big Island. Have y'all been in drought conditions? Of all the places in the United States that I figured would never be dealing with drought, you know, Hawaii was one of them. And I never understood when it started happening. I never understood why it was that it was all being blamed on a hurricane 800 miles from the islands. And I kind of still don't. Climate change, however, does make sense. Well, that's enough blathering from me. Thank you ever so much. TJ, there you are. Thank you. So Friday is fully funded. The Trump in the Dock challenge has been met. Thank you to our kind internet anonymous friend. And thank you, TJ, and thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. We finished funding last week before the end of this one. And not to keep bearing down, but if at all humanly possible, let's try to do Monday too, so that we've got this past Monday funded before the next one arrives. If we were to have a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle, I'd have a real monkey off my back getting both of the outstanding bills handled over the weekend. Thank you, TJ. Thank you so very much. Lee, Norway looks like Vermont. Was there a Ben and Jerry's invasion? Sorry, couldn't resist. Yeah, some of them are just a swing and a miss. Too soon, Lee, too soon. But let's go over and check in over the river and through the woods at the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves and see what's going on. Are you there, Roger?
Yeah, I'm here.
How did fermentation class go?
Oh, it went really great. We made some dilly beans, some refrigerator pickles. We did sauerkraut, and we did kimchi.
Hoo-wee.
And
everything I love.
Talked about making kombucha.
Pass.
And briefly discussed other forms of fermentation like sourdough bread and beer and wine and that kind of stuff. But yeah, it was a good class. Let's see, I had to be at the church at 11. We use a church kitchen meeting hall for the classes. We had to be there at 11, and I got home sometime around 5, and it was a good day. Good day. By the time we got everything put away, it was 6:30. And
well, you know, Fellowship Hall kitchens are quite often very well designed with every possible, you know, nice, clean stainless steel counters and the like.
Well, this one's really kind of nice because you come in the back door of the church into the kitchen. And it's got a couple of refrigerators and two nice stoves, electric stoves. But we bring all our own cutting boards, knives, and we bring all our utensils. The only thing we use of theirs is like when I put out tasters of various sauerkrauts, either have been processed, i.e. canned, or fresh. And I had a regular sauerkraut that I'd made that was refrigerated and then canned out of the same batch, so they could tell the difference of the same batch of sauerkraut, how it's different when you process it and when you just leave it in the fridge. And then I had another one that I made with cabbage and garlic scapes. And then I had my pickled jalapenos and my pickled jalapeno and pepperoncinis. I didn't give many of my pickled asparagus.
Now, you read my mind, because the whole laundry list that you read off there, I'm like, where's the pickled asparagus?
Yeah, well, since my asparagus patch isn't as big as what I used to have, I don't get very much of my own asparagus to pickle. So I kind of hoard that. I don't pass it out for tasters to common folk. But then the other thing I do with either my pepperoncinis or the jalapenos is I always put garlic cloves in. And to me, the garlic cloves are the best thing of the pickling process. And I've even had people ask me to do a quart jar of pickled garlic cloves. And I told them, I said, you want to peel all the garlic and all the rest of it, I'll make as much of it as you want. But I'm not peeling quart jars of garlic cloves. And when you go buy the already peeled garlic at Costco, it's just not the same as fresh peeled garlic. It just doesn't taste the same.
No, it really doesn't. It doesn't.
They never wanted to peel that many garlic cloves for me to make them pickled garlic cloves. But that's just the way life goes.
Oh, yeah. But damn, it sure sounds fun.
And our workshop later this month, or is it next month? On the 30th of August, we're doing everything tomato.
Fun.
So hot pack, cold pack, salsa, all that tomato stuff.
Sun-dried?
No, these will be in jars.
Oh, okay.
But we'll undoubtedly discuss dried tomatoes and tell people, now you don't want to do dried tomatoes in oil unless you store it in the freezer, unless you want to commit suicide.
Really?
So, yeah.
So am I at risk when I buy the canned sun-dried tomatoes in oil at the Wally World?
No, you're not, because the commercial processing is a little bit different than home processing. And what they will have done with the sun-dried tomatoes in the commercial processing, is will they will have acidified the tomatoes to the proper level so that the botulism organisms cannot grow in your sun-dried tomatoes and olive oil. But as soon as you put them in olive oil, you're going into an anaerobic environment, i.e. no oxygen.
Right.
And no oxygen environments are what botulism really loves, and particularly here in the Willamette Valley, where botulism is in virtually every speck of dirt you can find in the Willamette Valley, if you are doing your own tomatoes, the acidity of your tomatoes is probably not high enough to be safe when you sun-dry them and put them into olive oil. It's a total safety issue.
Oh, I get that. I get that. And when you say when you say raising the acid level, you're talking about adding citric acid, basically, right?
Well, there's a variety of acids that you could treat your tomatoes with, but there are no approved recipes from the FDA for home-created sun-dried tomatoes in oil. But if you sun-dry your tomatoes, put them in like olive oil, and let them sit for a day or two, and you know, to get a little flavor blend, and then put those little quarter pint jars into your freezer, the botulism toxins will not develop in the freezer.
Makes sense.
And then you just take them out, thaw it, and you know, for 12, 24 hours, and then you can use it. But if you store it, even in the refrigerator, you're creating a risk that I'm not willing to either assume or suggest other people to do.
Now, on the other hand, you can take your sun-dried tomatoes and just throw them in a clean jar and keep them on the shelf, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Botulism needs water, no oxygen, and the proper temperature. And the temperature is between 40 degrees Fahrenheit and 140 degrees Fahrenheit. And the water activity level has to be, is it less or more than 0.95? And let's see, oxygen, yeah, you got your heat, your water, and your pH. And if you just sun dry your tomatoes and they're nice and, you know, they crackle when you deal with them instead of bend, then they're dry enough to just put them in a jar, put them on the shelf, and they'll last a long time.
You are an absolute fount of information on this, and I find it entirely fascinating because, you talk about, you know, the Willamette Valley having so much botulism in the soil. So does that mean you're at risk if you're me, and you walk out to the garden and you just brush off a tomato right off the vine and bite into it and start hitting it with the salt shaker?
No, not at all. botulism requires an anaerobic, i.e. no oxygen environment, to live. Well, if you walk out and pick up a tomato and sprinkle salt on it and eat it, that tomato's been in an oxygen environment. And if you eat, all right, let's get it this way. Botulism as the organism is no problem to consume, none at all. The problem is that as it multiplies in the jar in the anaerobic environment, a waste product of the botulism spore is the toxin. So it's not the botulism itself that's the problem, it's the toxin that is created when those spores multiply. And if there's no real multiplying and the toxin being contained inside the jar, you know, you can eat botulism all day long. It's just you don't want to eat it if it's been sitting in a jar in the anaerobic environment and making the toxin. Now, you can, if you get a can of beans from somebody, and with beans is one of the really common ones that develops the toxin. If you get a can of beans from somebody and you really want to eat it, but you're really not too sure about the people who canned it, whether or not they followed all the real good rules, if you take and simmer it for 10 minutes on the stove, the boiling temperature of the water neutralizes the toxin, and they'd be safe to eat. The cases of botulism here in Oregon that happened is somebody takes some improperly canned green beans and takes them to a picnic, and they just put them out and maybe heat them up briefly and serve them to the church picnic. There's going to be some funerals coming up in you know, a week or so.
Oh, dear. It's rather blunt.
Testing.
Okay, who's testing?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
How you doing? It's a long time no see.
Oh, Ben.
How's it going? I didn't know if this was still going or not.
This what?
The show.
Yes. Almost 20 years.
I'm glad it is. And it's been a while since I've talked to you guys. Last November, I lost my father.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It's been rough, too.
I can imagine. I remember this, something similar.
Boy, this economy is not very good right now.
Well, it seems to be on the rebound. It's a lot better than it was last year.
Yeah, but this inflation's just getting out of control.
Inflation's going down, Ben.
Oh, it is?
Yes. It's it went up 0.2% in July versus June, but it is dramatically better than last year.
Wow.
And also keep in mind that the Federal Reserve's target is a 2% inflation per year over the entire economy. So according to the Fed and their interest rate raising and all the rest of that, is when the inflation rate gets down to 2%, they consider that to be zero inflation, and it's time to heat the economy up a little bit.
Huh.
So if we're running a 3% inflation rate, that's only 1% above what the Fed considers to be their target.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and the problem is the messaging. It's hard to get through the din of, and you know, the multimillionaire for-profit media are just shameless in the Biden's inflation. How will Biden ever handle all the inflation?
Well,
he's handling it pretty damn good.
The next question is, why isn't the orange popsicle in prison yet?
Because he has not yet been duly convicted by a jury of his peers tried and true.
Oh, boy. When's that going to happen? Is it ever going to happen?
Well, Jack Smith would like to try him in D.C. on January the 2nd. Aileen Cannon would like to try him in South Florida the day after the sun burns out. Because she's crooked.
And Fox News is taking these start trial dates and spinning it as this is Joe Biden trying to politically neuter his best opponent. And all these dates that are being set up are done by Joe Biden so that Joe Biden doesn't have to face Donald J. Trump in an election. They're keeping him from campaigning for the nomination by the court dates.
Crooked Joe is scared to death of manly, virile, masculine Donald Trump, man of masculinity.
On this same Trump number, a couple of years ago for my 60th high school reunion, which is coming up next weekend, which I will not be here on the porch next week.
Right. And you will be wearing the same suit, right?
Yep, because I lost enough weight to wear it. Anyhow.
I'm so proud of you.
The point here is that about a year and a half, 2 years ago, when this was just getting in the planning stages, a whole bunch of my liberal friends from high school were considering that, fuck it, we're not going to go to that reunion. It's got to be a bunch of Trump pansies, and we don't even want to be bothered with it. Well, we decided to go anyhow because Trump didn't get reelected. And now a whole bunch of the Trumpansee folks all of a sudden are having family commitments and birthdays and kinds of things. And so the
dog
real
ate
Trumpers
their car.
Are not showing up. Oh, and the other side of it is, well, we'd love to come, but we can't fly in because the airport's going to be closed down over that period of time, which is true. The airport will be closed down. But we can't make it because the airport's going to be shut down for runway repairs. We'd really love to be there, but we just can't make it. And I'm just laughing all the way through on all these folks that were so super conservative have now figured out they're not coming to the reunion. Fuck them all.
They have to wash their hair.
Yeah. Hey, I just find it interesting that...
I find it hilarious.
Now, the most rabid one you've heard me talk about before, she's one of the organizers and lives in town, so of course she'll be there. But a whole lot of her very conservative friends aren't going to make it.
You think she'll wear her maggot hat?
I don't think so, because she tries to... She's really a nice person. She's just dumber than a rock.
I know.
And she... Yeah, she and I fight on Facebook, but face to face, we're very friendly. She is basically a nice person.
You know, Prog Dog mentioned how there will be another Scott. There will never be another Scott in San Diego, and he was right. But frankly, trying to explain actual American civics to a maggot takes us back to that eternal hilarity of the monkey working a math problem, you know, with the little arm garters and the little green visor and the pencil and the pad and the stick on the pencil and the tongue and carry the 12. Just, it is a futile effort.
Well, I've likened it to teaching a rock how to read.
There we go. Yeah.
I mean, pet rocks are great, but don't try to teach them to read.
Geology pun. Rocks are very nice. G-N-E-I-S-S. Of course they are.
Wait a second.
You know, my sis, Miss Terry, is a professional geologist, and we were... she was filling me on, because I know all the lawyer jokes, and she knows all the geologist jokes, and... She said, yeah, geologists go from one bed to the next. I giggled merrily.
Yeah, but it makes you wonder about how metamorphic they are.
Oh, she posted the other day that she's very definitely a metamorphic girl. A lot of heat and pressure. Can't argue with her.
I heard they just want to get stoned.
That was another one. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on?
How you been?
Good. Just got in the car. Long day, boy. 10 hours.
Sounds brutal.
I haven't seen Ron DeSantis come looking for me yet.
Are you expecting him?
No.
I imagine about now you'd like to see some of that rain and sleet and snow.
It's actually a beautiful day here. Hold on. My AC's... Can you guys hear my blower?
No, you're good. Car? So far, so good.
Okay. All right.
We're here. Guys.
Really nice day. Really, really nice day today. The humidity's dropped down about 45. It's about, I want to say, 80 right now. Clear sky.
Oh, today was near perfect here. Cotton ball clouds through a beautiful azure sky, and got up to about 80. Had a little breeze blowing. I just checked. It's a toasty 86 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. Much above 86, and it becomes the Scott Marinoff Memorial Sauna. And we start getting perilously close to naked radio.
Jesus, would you look at the time?
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I don't think I've heard that since we heard the bad news. Jesus, would you look at the time?
That's not why I called.
I got to buy one of those clocks just, you know, just as a reminder.
Right? Yeah.
Put it right up here by the ceiling where I can just look at it any given moment. And say, Jesus, would you look at the time?
Robin?
Yes.
Jeremy said that Gary died last Saturday. Which Gary?
Gary in Alabama Stan.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Damn.
And, yeah, you've been away for a bit. We lost Scott in San Diego back in June.
Damn. Is Sparky still around?
Sparky absented himself from the conversation.
Oh.
I haven't been following the other program that he spends time at lately just because it's hard enough to find time for this one because I'm so damn busy. But I don't think he's befallen any hardships. I just think he's decided that he moved on.
Yeah, yeah, that's my understanding. He's buying his frogs here.
Hope he's getting laid. I really do.
No, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I guess. Note coming in from Darlene in Connecticut. Darlene noting, and ultimately, Joe Biden is at fault because he appointed Merrick Garland as AG, who dragged his heels investigating and prosecuting Trump. That would not have happened if he had nominated, Sally Yates, assuming she'd get past the confirmation hearings, but he could have given her a shot instead of making a legacy appointment to make up for Merrick being denied a seat on the SCOTUS. Imagine that, being Attorney General of the USA was Merrick's booby prize. Jeez. And of course, if you want proof that that Merrick Garland is squeaky clean, the fact that we now have a special counsel for Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden, the Benghazi overtime.
Oh God, now we're
why?
They're still on Hunter Biden for what?
Gotta play fair.
And now he drank the Kool-Aid. Garland drank the Kool-Aid.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I think he did.
Oh, who's saying
that? He dropped the ball. He did drive. There's an article out saying that he waited an entire year to even look into Trump for January 6th. A whole year when our democracy is being – this dictator wants to take – he literally thinks he's the king. You know what I mean, guys? Like, he literally thinks he's king. Like, it's like –
Wait. Merrick Garland thinks he's king?
No. Trump thinks he's king. And Merrick Garland waited an entire year to even look into him because the FBI didn't want to either, you know. And then it was the January 6th committee that shamed them basically into finally opening up a probe into something. And then
there's the whole developing the evidence situation. I mean, the evidence didn't develop itself.
Sure, I know, but he should have been investigating him from day one. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, but like, you know, I don't know.
How do you investigate somebody with no developed evidence? I mean, in some ways this is like a drug case. In drug cases, I genuinely don't believe in pursuing, you know, petty offenders. Nonviolent offenders. But what happens is you go after the people way, 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 way low on the ladder, and they rat on somebody above them, and they rat on somebody above them, and next thing you know, you've got an actual case. There was no 1-year wait. It was all happening, but it wasn't being tried and it wasn't being investigated in the press.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm just saying, like, but I just don't get why, you know, he went along with this thing about the special counsel when Trump's kids are like straight up criminals. You
well,
know,
sure,
I just,
it's sure, so- sure they are. But what he's actually doing is
he's threading a needle.
Well, yeah, he is, and everything was all hunky-dory. There was a Delaware prosecutor, and there was a plea deal, and then the plea deal blew up because the Delaware U.S. attorney, who had been continued in his job by Joe Biden so as not to appear political. He was a MAGA appointee, okay? And so what happened is they made a deal. It was the Hunter Biden case was a case that the feds wouldn't even have prosecuted if it had been done by Joe Blow, okay? They'd go, oh, go the fuck away. But because it's Hunter Biden, well, you have to, you got to get a plea deal out of it. So they made Hunter Biden plead a couple of misdemeanors and walked into court. And Hunter Biden's lawyer said, Your Honor, we're entering into this plea. It's our understanding that this is the end of the matter. But in the meantime, the maggots, the marginal trailer queens, et al., the Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, had been barking about, he's getting special treatment. He wasn't getting special treatment. He was getting harsher treatment than an ordinary citizen would get. Because
I know.
Because he's the son of the president. So they go into the courtroom. Who's got the noise thing going on? The kahoosh.
Sounds like Darth Vader, man.
Yeah, I would appreciate that if that would stop. Because Randy Radar just asked, who's ventilating the flugelhorn? Well played, Randy Radar. So they go into court. Biden's counsel says, okay, we've reached an agreement. This is the end of it. It's not going to go any further. Meanwhile, the screws had been tightened on the Delaware maggot U.S. attorney. He said, oh, no, there could be more charges. At which point, being being competent counsel, Biden's lawyer says, well, no, then. Deal's off. We're not signing off on this just to get hit with another charge down the road, because among other things, that would be legal malpractice.
So the
plea agreement collapsed, and the prosecutor said, "Well, we got to have a trial now." And so then, so that his fingerprints wouldn't be anywhere on it, Merrick Garland said, okay, then, David Weiss, you're now a special counsel.
It is smart. I get it. I know it's smart. I'm coming from emotion, all right? You know, I'm coming from emotion. I wonder things like this, like, you know, and I'm not trying to criticize Biden, but, like, you know, when you look at, like, how he kept that special counsel on, had that been Trump or the Republicans, they would have got rid of that motherfucker, and it would have been
right,
out of the
because news. Because they're crooked as a dog's hind leg.
Exactly, and the Democrat side is not. We shouldn't take that bait either and start saying, well, we got to do the same. You know, you're right about that. I guess I got to be more patient. But I just see that Trump is a dictator, you know, and that he's – and I mean that, like, he's got his dirty claws into, like, everything. Like, he turned our whole body politic in our society as well upside down. I never saw flags that said, fuck Obama. I mean, I guess there was vulgar stuff about Obama, but there's, like, all these flags all over the place and, like, where I live in a Republican area, you know, and it's just, like – they're like so loud and proud and violent about everything. Now everybody has like these big, like, you know, like pictures of stickers of like assault rifles on their back windshield, you know, and it's just like, you know, they're promoting like outright warfare.
Right.
You know,
because
on
they're,
their own.
Because they're dangerous little children.
Right. And Trump just is fueling that constantly.
But see, understand the strategy behind this, because David Weiss is a dirty little maggot, okay?
Sure.
You know, Nitwit Nero likes to run around hollering about deranged, deranged Jack Smith. Well, David Weiss is a maggot. He just is. And so the screws were tightened, and what probably happened is they said, listen, if I have to go through trials during an election season, so should Crooked Joe's crooked, coked-up son. Okay?
Yep.
And I know a little bit about snorting stimulants. So this way, as the Washington Post points out in a bit of a think piece, President Biden faces the prospect that his reelection campaign will unfold at the same time his son faces trial, possibly in a federal courthouse a few blocks from the White House. The legal proceedings could weigh on the president politically, and the fact that the case involves his surviving son, one with a history of drug and alcohol addiction, one he speaks with almost every day, one most of his advisors avoid discussing with him, is also likely to weigh on him personally. Jesus Christ, the both-siderism. Oh, my aching back. Darlene says, seriously, Robin, there was developed evidence the moment Garland got confirmed. The Mueller report, Garland ignored it. I agree with John in Central PA that was just talking on the porch. And I don't know, January 6th looked pretty damn developed to me, too. We all witnessed it. Witnessing it is not the same as developing it. And the Mueller report didn't speak to January 6th, and it did not speak to the plot to overturn the election. That the Mueller report spoke to things like trying to bribe foreign leaders or threaten foreign leaders. And unfortunately, I wouldn't say that Merrick Garland ignored it, but Merrick Garland recognized the damage that had already been done to it. The impeachment hearing dealt with it in depth. Trump got impeached for it, but then the Senate declined to convict. And as a federal prosecutor, you do not want to go marching into court with something that the United States Senate has already said is without merit, regardless of whether the Senate is right or wrong. Hell, Robin, then
can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, it's Theo calling in. How you doing?
Oh, hey, Theo.
Theo, could you turn your camera off, please?
Where'd Theo go? So,
yeah, they got their Benghazi, that's for sure.
Oh, sure. And they'll pull it like a little red wagon. But, you know, remember, what was his name? Devin Dipshit, the guy that was supposed to crack everything wide open. He testified in Congress and said, y'all, I don't know shit. Now, I don't know if he lied to the people who interviewed him, the Republicans who lied to him, or he lied to them in the first place, or if maybe they're just that shitty at running a committee. But
I'm talking about the whistleblower guy?
Yeah.
Robin?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hey, right. Christopher.
Hi there. What's the latest on the impeachment? The articles of impeachment, they're coming.
Well, you know, Marginal Trailer Queen is working furiously with a little sharp stick and a pile of bat shit and a little bit of tree bark, and she'll have one any day now. Speaking of sharp stick, I saw a thing the other day, and this is totally apropos of nothing, but except for the way my twisted mind works. Try this experiment at home before you try to do it in the grocery store. But apparently, I don't know who's roaring.
Roaring.
I'm roaring.
Every now and then this roar comes through.
The Jerry? I think that's Jerry.
Yeah, Scary Jerry. Okay.
He's back up on Sputnik.
Quit that. But I just saw this and I thought it was so funny. If you've got a ripe a yellow banana and you scratch it, it will turn brown. But it won't do so immediately. So if you take a yellow banana and you do something like write on it, "We know what you did," the purchaser of said banana will not see that until it goes home, until they take it home and it ripens a little bit. And then they'll think they have a haunted banana. Isn't that adorable?
That's crazy.
What a great idea.
Or, you know, and I got to thinking about phrases you could quickly scratch into a banana, like, "You can't hide." "We know." "We saw."
"We need money now."
"Send money."
"I'm in the other room."
Yes.
"I'm in the basement."
Yes, yes. Devin Archer,
coming
by the way.
Coming from inside the house. Yeah.
Am I still roaring or no?
No, you're not.
No, you're good now. You're perfect.
Yeah, Devin Archer. Devin Archer.
That's his name?
Yes, just like the captain to NX-01 Enterprise, obligatory Star Trek references, Lee in New York. Thank you. Yeah, Captain Archer.
Well, I got something interesting to share.
Okay, Ben.
Yes, Ben.
I know it's been a while since I've been here. I got to go to my first Super Bowl parade this year.
Wow.
Oh, for the Chiefs.
Yes. And then, you know, the draft was here.
Wow. I'm a Dolphin fan, but I ain't mad at the Chiefs.
That was a very fun experience.
Oh, yeah.
You're, I mean, Jerry, we all love you, but, it, you know, a Dolphins fan can't much be mad at anybody except maybe the Dolphins.
No, you can be mad at the Buffalo Bills, New York Jets, and the New England Patriots. Don't you understand AFC East football? Robin, I mean, some of those teams are close to you. Pay attention. Come on.
I mean, isn't being mad at the Jets kind of like being mad at a box turtle?
No, the Jets and the Dolphins used to have epic battles back in the 80s that were significant and relevant. So that they're still old. People still fight at the stadium. Old 60 and 50 year old men will fight over a football game. One of them's wearing a green jersey.
Jerry, is Tua going to be MVP?
I think he's going to be top five this year. He looks really good. The coach. When you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. I have something I called about. But I have to.
Well, I have one question: Is Aaron Rodgers going to spend a lot of time looking at cloud formations?
I think the Dolphins. In the finals there. I really do. I think it's going to be Tua and Aaron. I just hope the game's here. They played that game last year, and it was pretty good until Tua's concussion. It was compelling football.
Yeah, I got real misgivings about coming back after a couple of concussions. But, you know.
They all do. Look at
not your brain, Robin.
Not my brain.
Every play is a car crash every play
for the linemen,
for everybody, not just for the linemen. When they hit a running back out of bounds and they're both going 20 miles an hour, that hurts. They're going 20 miles an hour. You have to see it as a normal person where you're going, "Oh my God, that's the fastest human I've ever seen." And they're doing it all. It's that's not why I called, though. I have something very important.
Okay. Share.
This is an emergency. An emergency Florida man report. I got banned last night on Our Politics on Reddit for using your phrase, Robin.
What?
And I'm throwing a stink.
What phrase?
Uncle Clarence.
I don't use Uncle Clarence. I don't use Uncle Clarence.
Huh?
I don't use Uncle Clarence.
No, pubes on the Coke can. He uses pubes on the Coke can. Yeah. Somebody does, though. Somebody calls. I think it might be it's Randy. I think Randy calls it.
They said I'm using hate speech. And I was like, no. Uncle Clarence is, for me, an homage to Uncle Ruckus from the Boondocks. If Uncle Ruckus, and I'm saying
your intent does not matter, because that the uncle language is prototypically racist.
That's Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Now,
and here's where I lost my shit, and I hope everybody's here leaning close. Well,
now, okay, if you ever get back on, you should maybe try using Clarence the Human Timeshare Thomas.
They said I was invoking Uncle Tom's Cabin, and I was like, wait a second. Isn't Uncle Clarence the most Uncle Tom motherfucker of all time?
Yeah, see, you made it worse. You were in a hole, and you didn't obey the first law of holes, which is when you're in one, stop digging.
Well,
I think that we need a new game. Where in the world is Clarence Thomas?
That's Clarence good, Christopher.
Or Jet Center. Yeah, Jet Center.
Because I don't think it was that terrible. I mean, and I don't think white people can tell black people they're being racist talking about other black people.
Nobody's telling a black person they're being racist about other black people. You got called out for using prototypically racist coded language.
Well, in my defense, and I apologize, is that I may have to send an apology in 30 days. All right, fair enough.
Who do you have to apologize to, Jerry?
The moderators are our politics.
Oh, okay. Not to Clarence.
Not to Clarence. I am an immigrant to this country. I've always heard the term amongst the donkeys, Uncle Tom, referring to someone who sold out the race. And I've always found it to be accurate.
Yeah. It's used.
If in the age of 2023 that is hate speech, well, I'll take my stripes and keep it moving. But I believe what I believe, what I actually believe and feel hasn't changed.
Be more creative.
You're not the first.
Be more creative. I mean, if you take a phrase that I do use and say, Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Thomas, nobody can take issue with that because that was testified to in his confirmation hearing under oath.
But I shortened it in my you're imprinted in my mind, Uncle Clarence, because your phrase has like six words in it, and all of them are kind of descriptive and disgusting that I don't really want to think about. But I shortened it and called it Uncle Clarence.
You gotta understand, when I come up with these Homeric descriptors, I work to make sure that they are all factually accurate. Okay? The anointed booger-eating future king of America, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz. Well, everything in that is true. We saw him LARP a booger on live TV, and yes, his daddy and a bunch of snake-handling, oil-anointing gospel sharps anointed him as the future king of America. It's indisputable. When talking about the former squatter in the White House's wife, I refer to her as Melania Trump, the only presidential spouse ever to take her clothes off in for the sexual gratification of perfect strangers in exchange for money. Every last word of that is absolutely factual.
Let's be honest here for a second. The whole mod staff of our politics is full MAGA, and they try to stamp out. And
sure.
I'm very funny.
Most of Reddit is a... Oh, that was Jeez. Pretty.
That was suitable for radio. That?
I mean, come on.
Right there. There you go. You launched a new mycelium light for. Hope you're proud of yourself. Probably on an eject sesame seed.
You sound different.
Accuracy is everything. But yeah, most of Reddit is an unalloyed right-wing cesspit. About the only places I go on Reddit are to the trans subreddits, because of all of Reddit, that's one of those places that is, for the most part, unless you run across a Heather, but true transsexuals, it's a lovely and affirming place.
I have I have decided to out myself tonight on Reddit because I'm in a lot of other cool subreddits. And if anything ever happens to me, you'll know where to find me, if that makes any sense. Because of kind of what happened to Scott, because y'all are my family. And y'all always keep track of stuff like that. So I'm Stockhand 1967. I'm big in the dolphin section. And I'm thinking of doing paramotoring over water pretty soon. The adventure in me is I'm all in the growing subreddits and the Miami Dolphin subreddit. And that's where I am. I'm going to go over at Daily Cosmo and write some shit. No, you're right. That's where I fucked up. In fact, what I wanted was a historical, because I am liberal. I'm open to correction and new knowledge. I'm tipping my hat. Who is Uncle Tom in Uncle Tom's Cabin? I've never read it. The book. It's one of those.
He is a fawning, obsequious, enabler of his enslavers.
Mm-hmm. So Uncle Clarence.
Yeah. So Uncle Clarence.
So, what was the Woo! Movie with Jamie Foxx? Django Unchained.
Yeah,
Samuel L. Jackson. There you go. That's him. His character. Yeah, that's him.
Basically. You mean the one who looks like Clarence Thomas? The one flying on 737. So I told the truth, but I used a trigger word, and I got banned. Is that what happened here?
No, I don't think.
No, well, I have other posts in our politics that slam Republican interests and make people laugh, and I have a lot of karma because I talk shit and get away with it. And I think that was the weakest comment. And it was very personal and very emotional. That part kind of is what kind of took. Yeah, I was a little shook. But I get it.
You'll do better next time.
They haven't banned me from the whole site because that would have made me sad. I spent too much time there anyway. I mean, how could you not? This shit has been fucking bananas. You wonder, what was Watergate like? Boom, we're here. What was
This is Watergate only with morons. If the entirety of Watergate was comprised entirely and solely of E. Howard Hunt and Gordon Liddy, you'd have this.
No, there's. You know what, Robin? I have to disagree with you. Trump's a moron about a great many things. He's a supervillain about gaming the system and finding the holes and the flaws and the doubt.
And he knows how to manipulate the rubes. You know what did you say, Robin? I've heard it said. A few people have said it. He is the idea of the smartest man to a dumb person.
Donald Trump is what a dumb person thinks a smart person looks and sounds like.
Yes.
But Rob, perfect, you know what? He did a coup, Robin. I saw it on TV. I'm still traumatized over that shit, if I'm absolutely honest.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a terrorist attack.
And half the country can't even call it a fucking coup. So before you discount him, that shit happened. And he was planning a coup 6 months out, right in front of everybody, and nobody did shit. And a year afterwards, the Secret Service and the FBI sat on their hands because they'd seen some shit in notes.
Jerry, you talk about nobody will call it a coup. I'm still sitting here, and again, once again, I work really hard to make sure that when I'm being serious, that I use serious terms. And I have been describing it for over a year now as the greatest domestic terror attack on the United States in the history of this country. And every bit of that is absolutely factual. But try to get one of the multimillionaires on the for-profit media to call right-wingers, white-wing Americans, domestic terrorists. Sorry, you lose. They're not nearly brown enough, not nearly Muslim enough, not nearly gay enough, not nearly trans enough, so consequently we have to live with insurrection.
You have two senators out of the 100 grayed out. Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell hasn't said shit in 8 months. Isn't that suspicious? Let's all be honest for a second. He hasn't said anything for 8 months. He hasn't talked shit. He hasn't stoked the fire. He hasn't said, well, I stand behind the president. Whatever the fuck's
well,
going on.
Well, he can barely speak, Jerry. Please.
And we have fine.
Wheels
for
are grinding
30 seconds.
A bit slow. Yeah.
Well, they finally finally got him medicated enough to get him to the fancy farm picnic in Kentucky, where he said, "Well, this is my 28th fancy farm picnic."
I haven't seen booing like that.
Congratulations, Moscow Mitch. Here's a cookie.
I haven't seen that kind of booing.
I think Lindsey Graham's a co-conspirator, and I think Fawny's going to go, because Lindsey has been just sus as fuck. You know, Lindsey acts like somebody was in a car going across country caught with a lot of coke. I mean, it's the same vibe. Just talking fast about nonsense. Where you going, what the hell are you on, Lindsey? And Tuberville is trying to do his own fucking Confederacy. What the fuck is Tuberville doing?
Well, I'm glad you brought up Tommy the Tuber.
Oh, God.
Because it turns out he's not the senior senator from Alabama. He's the third senator from Florida. He does not and has not lived in Alabama at all since he basically, I think, quit coaching the Auburn University football team. He is a resident of Santa Rosa, Florida, which is about 90 miles due south of Dothan, Alabama. In the white sand beaches of the Gulf Coast of the Florida Panhandle.
If I was Joe Biden, I would send a Navy-type Coast Guard thing with the boy, and I'd just chop him up, and I'd say, Greg Abbott, what the fuck are you doing? Razor blades, really? Listen, okay? I was thinking about this washing dishes today. We're in the 21st fucking century. It is not hard to track anybody. Stop playing like somebody's going to run into the country and disappear. And not use a cell phone? Do you understand what I'm saying? As long as you have somebody's cell phone, you know exactly where they are. Hell, if you want to attract their attention, you can turn it off or just slow down the data.
Well, let me throw something at you then. As I said at the top of the program, the borders of the United States the United States of America are the sole province of the government of the United States of America. It is not just left up to the individual discretion. Please don't walk over me. Let me finish. It's not up to the several states to do it all on their own. That's a very pre-1860 notion. It's also very much a secessionist notion. It's a, what's the term? It reared its ugly head way early in the history of this country. Nullificationist notion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And frankly, President Biden would be within his rights if he federalized the Texas National Guard, took jurisdiction away from Greg Aspott, and ordered the Texas National Guard to go down and destroy all of that ugly, hateful, bloody, toxic system. The buoys, the chainsaw blades, the everything. And, well, it would be environmentally unsound.
Destroy the wall.
not a thing to do in an election year, and neither would be destroying the buoys, but he is within his rights. And if the Texas National Guard refused to follow the legitimate orders of the President of the United States, he would also be within his rights, because we're not talking about posse comitatus and enforcement of the law inside the United States, but rather along the actual border. He could send the regular army down there to take all of that shit apart, and then find out just how brassy Greg Aspott's balls really are.
And call him up to Washington and explain himself. Seriously. This is bullshit.
I don't know that the president has the legal ability to hail the governor of one of the several states to get called in on the carpet, it would be extremely rude for Greg Aspott to refuse to go. But the thing, what I'm trying to get across here, is that the President of the United States has powers he can use if it gets bad enough. But the fact of the matter is, the case is being handled in court right now, and if a ruling comes down and Greg Aspott does not follow it, well, that's a horse of a different technicolor.
Hey, Robin, can Chuck Schumer haul his ass up in front of the Senate for hearings?
I mean, they could have they can have hearings till hell freezes over,
or they can go and see.
But Greg Aspott, you know, Greg Aspott's a maggot. And he might, and you know, when you consider that the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells is just out there wandering around, even though he's already been convicted and lost on appeal, and is still at large, Greg Aspott's not particularly scared of a contempt of court charge.
So you start rolling out the army bases, then, just like you said, start.
You start by federalizing the Texas National Guard. And then if they refuse to be federalized, then you got an insurrection on your hands, and you can use the real army on them.
Damned if you do or damned if you don't. I mean, Joseph's trying to tip past this fucking graveyard his whole entire...
Right? Oh, get off Joe Biden!
I'm not pushing Joe Nipples here. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this is the thing that Joe has, through professionalism, experience, has tried. This is the argument that has to be argued. He skillfully avoided this argument. What I was saying was, we're having the same exact problem that Britain is having, except it's worse because they're out of the immigration show. But this is the argument England's having as well. We're just not going to have immigration. That's the kind. We don't want anybody to come here. Yeah, nothing for the brown people. That's literally it.
Yeah, but Jerry, that's not really true, because your for-profit corporate heads, they want people to come here and work for less, like a dollar a day.
H-1B visas, y'all.
Yeah, and they want people to come. Yeah. But illegally.
Hey, everyone, how are you?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's going on, Steve?
Hey, before you jump in, Steve, let me do a thing, okay? Just real quick, I'm sorry.
Thing away. No, thing away.
We are into the third hour of the program. We managed, thanks to Ralphs and our anonymous friend and TJ, to fund, to get last Friday fully funded. That means that right now we are looking at an entire unfunded week this week. It's really, really necessary, as in, I'm not kidding, that we, hopefully, in the coming hour, fund last Monday. Maybe take a bite out of Tuesday. I'm looking at another outrageous coal-fried power bill and our telephony bill. And, you know, if we can fund Monday, maybe a piece of Tuesday. One, we're not going into, you know, we're not going into next more in Monday looking at $2,000, which just gives me the fantods. But I can make sure I can make sure that everything stays on and we've got a program. I live in a near constant state of stress over this kind of thing, because when you get close to 20 years of doing this, and every minute of every week, program of every week of every month has been a coin toss. It takes a toll. So we got 50 minutes to knock out $300, or more than $300, if that is even remotely humanly possible. So there we are. And I'm sorry to do it, as ever. The apologies always continue. I'm so sorry.
Right after this, Steve has the floor, but put me down for 60 in honor of my late brother. He would have been 59 on the 9th. And then, Steve, you go.
My condolences.
And what did you say, Ken? You faded in my cans here. What? No, in honor of your late brother.
Yeah, my late brother. I was going to give you. He'd be 59 2 days ago. So I was going to give. I just rounded up to 60 because.
Thank you so much.
Odd numbers.
Thank you so much. That goes with what Emilio just sent in, and. Wait, did I see Emilio? Hold on.
He's there.
Yeah, I'm just trying.
He's there, muted.
Yeah, so Emilio and John in Central PA, and what you just did, Ken, that's $85 out of this past Monday. So that means we're down to 215. Thank you so much, Ken. And Emilio,
well.
And thank you, John in Central PA. And your brother, may his memory be for a blessing. Steve, go.
You know what? I forgot what I was going to talk about.
Well, damn. You were talking about
the border and the saws and the barbarity of Greg Aspott.
That was Jerry. Jerry was talking about that.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
I forgot. Is that what we were talking about before?
Yeah, kind of.
Ken chimed in. I don't even remember.
Well, Jeremy just got us down to 195. Thank you, Jeremy.
Steve, who's going to win the NL Central? Cubs. Reds? You think the Cubs are coming out strong, huh?
I mean, the Reds' biggest liability is David fucking Bell.
How old is he now?
Too old. Get him out.
Yeah.
Too old, too young. He sucks balls anyway.
Chris, who do you think is going to win the American League West? Houston or Oakland?
No, Texas. Texas is in first, aren't they?
Isn't Oakland like 1,000 games out of first?
They might set the record.
I actually did. I calculated. I think they're on pace to lose 119. I don't know if that's. I don't think that's the record.
It's the Rangers. The Rangers. I think. Well, given the Astros and their cheating ways, probably the Astros.
They're never going to live that down, are they?
The cheater's not there anymore. The cheater went to Minnesota.
Yeah. I'm a big Dusty Baker fan, because I thought he was a very good manager at the Reds.
The cheater that caused all the trouble for the Astros is now in my team's division. We got to play him a lot. And every time I went to opening day this year at the K and everybody booed him, was like, why is there – oh, that's the cheater that cheated for the Astros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dusty's got a place in my heart from the Cubs. But he will never – Cubs fans to this day get pissed off about the famous Bartman game and when he didn't take – I think it was Pryor out after that. Like, there was another base hit after that debacle. And the wheels – that's when the wheels came off and they lost the series to the Marlins. And he gets a lot of heat for not reining the team in, getting – Prior out of there and stabilizing that. He still gets a lot of heat for that. But justly or unjustly, he does.
I got another unpopular controversial opinion.
Well,
I think
can I say something
sucks.
Real quick and then, I'll shut up. Well, baseball's better than that wimpy ass game that people play a lot in Europe.
Yeah, but their feet's feet ball.
What, soccer? I fucking hate soccer. I hate it.
No handsball.
Boring.
I call it no board. Yeah, no. I call it. It's not a sport. Well, I've said this before.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sport.
Yeah, but you said baseball's not even a sport.
No,
either.
Baseball's not a sport either. But soccer is just for it. Soccer is yeah. that. It should be illegal.
Oh
soccer's
God! We're
exercise.
Gonna wait. We're gonna have to. If we're gonna wax eloquent over baseball, I'm gonna have to make you put the what's his name bow tie on, and I'm gonna have to play the music from Tim Burns' The Civil War.
That.
what was that guy's?
Intercepted.
George Will. George Will. There we go.
Yeah.
How quickly we forget.
By the way, I here's the only.
It's a noble game played by white people, and there's no clock because white people don't work.
And Babe Ruth never had to play the best players. Play against the best players.
Who's clicking?
I don't know.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, stop playing with your ballpoint pen, please.
No, I was going to say, I don't remember what I was going to say. The only, I am on a crusade, and I don't know why I'm on this crusade, but I am, to completely destroy the credibility of the Majority Report.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I got your notes earlier.
All right,
earlier
I'm going on mute for this. I'll shut up.
Well, crusade is the right word. You're a good Catholic.
I don't know if I'm a good Catholic.
Oh. Hey, let me do a quick thank you. Thank you to Max.
Sorry, man. That was a little.
Hold on. This is awesome. I want to thank Max in Germany. Greetings from Germany, says Max. We're now down to $95 to be fully funded for last Monday. That's amazing.
Monday or Friday?
No, Friday got covered. Monday we're working on. We got 95.
Oh, okay.
We got $95 to go to finish Monday and make some bill paying possible.
And I'm going to say one thing, and I'm not going to say anything else about it tonight. I have the same complaint, and here's why I used to really like Sam Cedar. But they have that moron on there who is so wrong all the time and stupid and ignorant. And then the other person on there, the guy's name is Matt, said something so unbelievably. I just get sick of – I expect better from us. To actually know what we're talking about, and if we're not quite sure, to say, this is what I think, but I don't have any experience doing this. I am not a know-it-all, because I don't know it all.
No, and the other thing you don't do is pontificate as if you have actually held offices that you're critiquing.
Exactly.
Well, thank you. I try to do that. I don't. The only time I get definitive is when I've done the work and the research and I know what I'm talking about.
I was listening today, and I was like, oh God, I hope Steve isn't listening today, because he's just banging his head against the wall.
Yeah, I just stopped listening. I mean, when they start saying shit about Garland, and I'm sitting there, there's Emma, who's never held an actual job in her life. All she's ever done is been a journalist, and that's nothing against journalists. All I'm saying is that's like a person who works for ESPN who's never fucking put a pair of cleats or skates or anything on, talking definitively about what's going on. And then Matt Leck said something so stupid the other day where he said that we should be sending Greg Aspott to The Hague for what he's doing down there.
What?
And that's utterly stupid. But he's too goddamn ignorant to know why that's stupid. Okay, done. That soapbox back under my desk. And if any, I'm not going to comment. If anybody else brings it up,
I would chalk it up to being young. But you have a great point.
That's what I said last week. That's exactly what I said.
But don't say anything if you don't know.
But then no, hold on.
I agree, Steve.
Sorry, I'm gonna jump in on this one. I got nothing bad to say about Sam Cedar.
Oh, I don't either. I just
especially in light of the fact that I don't listen. Okay, so I don't know what you're talking about. But and look, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay. We do what we do here because what we do here is what we do here for good or ill. And with a 20-year history, and nothing but the funding of the people who support this community, I think it's a ringing endorsement of the quality of what we do. But I make mistakes. I make them fairly regularly, and when I catch myself in one, I'm I try to correct it and admit that it was a mistake. There's a great line in my favorite song on Jason Isbell's new album, Weather Vanes, Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. The song is called If You Insist. And there's, I mean, there are so many great lines in this song, I could just recite the lyric. Well, bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
But there's one line where he sings, I'm too tired to get excited, and I'm too old to be ashamed. And that just wraps up everything for me.
Whoever is clicking around, please stop.
I'm not trying to be a bitch. But just to finish the thought, I've commented on it in regard to right-wing radio because it's much more profoundly stupid in right-wing radio. You know, if it's Alex Jones versus Charlie Kirk versus little Benny Drywife Shapiro, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then what you have is a constant need to one-up each other. Because you've got to continuously say things that are so utterly batshit crazy that you will keep the batshit crazy people who tune into your program engaged. Okay? I'm not saying there's anybody doing anything even remotely like that on our side of the aisle. But still, there is a need to say things that sound profound, whether they are or not. I mean, I come up with my little stupidities and I come up with my little profundities. And that's where the whole thing about, you know, being so far out in front of the curve, it's like we're on straight road came from. Because we get a lot of shit right before anybody else does. One of these days, somebody else is going to call what happened on January 6th, the domestic terror attack, because it was. Just like I was saying, you know, why is nobody talking about Trump being charged under the Klan Act? And then a few days later, lo and behold, there it was. And constantly joking about, you know, thinking that apparently this is what Joe and Mika listen to before bedtime, you know, because they got to go to bed at 8 and be up at 4. Mostly that's all joking. But I don't feel a need to keep up with the other Joneses in this industry and say outrageous things. I mean, again, I'm going there, sorry. But I've never had much regard for the Young Turks. I just never have. Because, among other things, I'm not a converted Republican. I've been who I am all my fucking life. But lo and behold... Anna Kasparian and Cenk Uygur jump out there and, because it's a good dollar, jump on the backs of trans adolescents. And then get all butthurt when people call them out for attacking one of the, probably the most vulnerable community in the entire country. But they've got to come up with something like that. To show that they're edgy. And certainly calling for Greg Asbot, whom I wouldn't pee on if his fucking guts were on fire, for him to be carted off to The Hague, I mean, among other things, that's dumb. That's past dumb. That's stupid. And it's also not particularly helpful. It's never going to happen, and getting people inflamed thinking that it should happen is kind of a waste of energy. And energy is a resource. Energy is a political resource. And our political energies need to be turned going toward 2024 on the shit we win on. And what we win on right now, as we found out in Ohio, as we found out in Kansas, as we found out in Kentucky, you know, as the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells pointed out earlier this week, they're getting killed on the issue. The fetus fetishists are doing our job of taking down the Republican Party, setting it on fire, and scattering the ashes. But we want to send Greg Aspott to The Hague. Focus! Again, I go back to that apocryphal line of Casey Stengel with the 1962 Mets. Does anybody here know how to play this game?
Well, and I heard Ben come on and say, well, the economy really sucks. And Ben, correct me if I'm wrong, but you sounded very facetious when you said that. Is that true?
I thought Ben was being deadly serious.
I thought it came off as facetious, but because the economy, by all metrics, is doing about as good as it could possibly do coming out of a pandemic and after an orange monster tried to ravage it.
Only thing that sucks is the housing market is very, very bad.
Looking at my house. You're right.
And I can't. No, that's the only problem.
You know what? That's not the fault of the president or the Democratic Party. Tracy and I were chatting earlier today, and the fact of the matter is, if you want an answer to the housing market, look to Airbnb. Okay.
Yep.
I live in a tourist community. Okay. I live in a place that is a national park, and this place rides on the back of service employees, people who work in restaurants, people who work as river guides, people who work in the big tourist destinations. People come here to work, and they can get work, but they can't find somewhere to live because even run-of-the-mill houses that would have just been rentals 10 years ago are fucking Airbnbs. That's where the housing market. That's where the housing market went.
And Vanguard and BlackRock, they're buying up all the individual homes.
And you know, oh no, here she goes. If you look at the history of the Roman Republic, we've got, you know, history doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme. And this was one of the factors that led to the downfall of the Republic and the rise of the Empire, because free persons were kicked off their land, made homeless, and the vast estates, whether it be, you know, olives or grapes or grain, what have you, were suddenly worked by slaves. And the Republic, which was founded on the notion of free Romans defending Rome and advancing Rome's interests, suddenly became a slave state. And all those people who would put down their plowshares and go and put on their armor and get on their horse and go and ride off to the legions weren't there anymore. In fact, Gaius Marius had to institute new reforms as consul that would allow people who were not landholders to serve in the legions for 20 years in exchange for a plot of ground if they managed to survive. Wow, that was a deep dive. But, John, I get it. The housing market does suck. You know, I joke, Tracy and others tell me I'm not that far off, that you can't rent a refrigerator box over a sewer grate in L.A. for less than $1,200 a month. And it's real to me because I still don't know if I'm going to be able to continue to live here. I got a 1-year reprieve from the West Virginia legislature, but they'll be back in February, and I'll be going to sleep every night wondering if it's safe for me to live here. And if it's not safe for me to live here, how do I pack everything into a car, say goodbye to everything I love, and drive off into the unknown as a homeless woman? How do I do that? because the safe states are also the expensive states, whether it's Washington, Oregon, California, New Mexico, Illinois. And the places where you can find affordable housing are also, at the same time, the maggot states. It's a conundrum, but it's not a presidential conundrum. Am I making any sense at all?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Of course, the right wing's going to spin it that it is a Biden problem, but it's not. It's countrywide, and it's systemic, and it's commoditizing a need, a human need. And it, what's in, and what happens when you do that? Prices spiral out of control. We've seen it with healthcare, education. Well,
but the problem, Christopher, is if it's a Biden problem, it wouldn't have existed before Biden, and it damn sure did.
No, I solely think what's going on right now, especially with the economy here in Kansas, I think it's all because of Trump.
Well, you know, letting a pandemic ravage the country, trash the supply chain, destroy small businesses, while giving away free money to people who didn't need it, yeah, it's a problem.
I think we gave the economy away to the hedge funders. They ruined everything.
Well, they came in and took it.
They can never be satisfied.
And by the way, we are down to $55 to go to be, have Monday fully funded. $55 because Kevin jumped in. Thank you, Kevin, so very much. It's much appreciated.
Well, Ben, you live in Kansas. Brownback, how long, how many, did he serve as governor for 2 terms?
Yeah, but that was... That was after Kathleen Sebelius. We got a Democratic governor now.
Yeah, and well, because he ruined that state.
He ruined the education system here, that's for damn sure.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and speaking of education systems, this is very close. This is close to home, and it hits my little heart. Y'all have heard me speak, and speak fondly, of my alma mater that Grant awarded me 2 degrees. I lovingly refer to it as Harvard on the Mon, West Virginia University in Morgantown. So many happy memories there. Well, yeah, this is what happens when you let Republicans run governments. The flagship university of the state of West Virginia, which has programs that have been... national leaders, has declared that they're going to eliminate 32 entire programs, 12 of them undergraduate and 20 graduate degrees. So that means anyone in this state who wants to study it can go fucking somewhere else. And it tells you exactly when. Meanwhile, our university president, E. Gordon Gee, is running around during student orientation week, literally reading fortune cookies. It's embarrassing. And I've got his autograph on a degree. So, here's what my university, which my our legislature filled chock to the brim with maggots, refuses to fund. They're ditching the Bachelor of Science in Biometric Systems Engineering. Because who needs that? They're getting rid of the master's degree in higher education administration, the master's degree in multi-categorical special education, because, you know, we don't have any special needs kids in West Virginia. The PhD in higher education. I mean, isn't this a little curious? The EDD, higher education administration. We don't need no education. We're smart enough here in West Virginia.
Common sense.
What? In no way, shape, form, or fashion does West Virginia need no PhD in higher education. I ain't got no PhD in higher education, and look at me, I'm a billionaire. And then, of course, they go Jesus. For the arts. I spent a lot of time in what's called the CAC. Sorry. The Creative Arts Center. which curiously, it's up on the Evansdale campus in Morgantown, and it looks like a giant toilet because of all the fly space for the main theater. Well, we're getting rid of the Bachelors of Art in Art History. We're getting rid of the Bachelors of Music in Music Performance, Jazz, and Commercial Music, because nobody wants any musicians who know how to make money at it. Masters of Music in Collaborative Piano. Well, I mean, we prefer to sing a cappella in our churches. Masters of Music in Composition, Masters of Music in Jazz Pedagogy, a DMA in Collaborative Piano, a DMA in Composition. Those are doctorates. And one of the most successful programs in the theater department when I was there was the puppetry department, and it was brilliant. And the puppetry van went all over West Virginia and brought delight to countless thousands. So the BFA in puppetry is gone. Something that I would have stayed in Morgantown to pursue, the Master of Fine Arts in Acting, gone. The Bachelor's of Science in Environmental and Community Planning, poof. Because we don't need no environmental planning, we need coal. The Bachelor of Science in Landscape Architecture, poof. Master's Landscape Architecture, poof. Well, I mean, you know, we still need people who can turn them flat toxic places from mountaintop. No, we don't need that. We'll just leave it muddy. Recreation, Parks, and Tourism Resources degree, that's gone because, you know, it's not like we got a national park down here. Agribusiness Management, well, you can just go to work for old Jim. That's gone. Environmental and Energy Resources Management, Jesus Christ, they'll burn the building down for that and present the ashes in an urn to the West Virginia Coal Association. Masters in Energy Environments, we're a coal and gas state. We don't got no energy environments. PhD in Resource Management, Masters in Communication Studies. Wow, it's almost like they're going after every department that I ever studied in. There's my Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing. I don't have one of those, but I thought about it. Communication Studies. Hey, look, state like West Virginia, who needs a PhD in mathematics, huh? Bunch of fucking eggheads. Public Administration. There was a dual degree where you would wind up with a JD and an MPA. A lot of people did, and it took them very, very far. Spent a lot of time in the foreign language department at WVU. A lot of Latin. Well, they don't even bother teaching Latin or Greek anymore in Morgantown. That's so 2,000 years ago. But we're wiping out Chinese, because nobody needs to speak that. We're wiping out French. We're wiping out German studies. We're wiping out Russian studies. We're wiping out Spanish.
Oh, God.
Wait, sounds like a whole bunch of cancel culture going on there.
No shit. Masters of Linguistics, gone. Oh, here's one. Gone is the master's degree in teaching English to speakers of other languages. Why would we ever want to do that? We speak English here in West Virginia. Not particularly good, but we speak English. And this one hit hard because of all the work they've done regarding, and maybe that's why, all the good work they've done regarding the toxic effects of mountaintop removal. The Bachelor of Science degree in Public Health is gone, baby, gone. And the PhD in Business Administration Management, out the fucking window. And then the PhD in Occupational and Environmental Health Sciences. We don't need none of that. Hell, black lung ain't even a thing. Jesus. How embarrassing. How heartbreaking. What a fucking... what a surrender.
Damn, at this point, they might as well shut the whole school down.
No, because the whole university, you got to understand, is a life support system for the basketball and football programs, and somehow or another, miraculously, we're still in the Big 12. They ain't figured out how, but we're going to have a hell of a good time flying off to play in Los Angeles against the UCLA and the USC.
Yeah, did you hear the Ducks join the Big Ten?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And at some point in time, at the risk of losing the entire live listening community and half the podcast community, we should probably talk about that, because there's actually, this is actually a legal story more than a sports story. And it goes all the way back to 1984 when Justice John Paul Stevens removed the NCAA's monopoly over college sports. And what's interesting is in that same case, a conservative justice named Byron Wizard White, who was an All-American at Colorado, said, "I dissent," and said, "Y'all going to make a real mess out of shit." And lo and behold, here it is. So, you know, my beloved Mountaineers are going to be part of something called the big, I don't even know what number. And the athletic director of Arizona State University has already said, "Well, we got to play West Virginia, but I can guarantee double T, I ain't going to no fucking Morgantown." Nice. Sorry, that was a bit of a filler, internal filler officer, and I apologize for it. And thank you so very much.
I'm watching
football right now with the mute on, and I got you guys in the background. This is peak horn and football. What are you talking about? This is great. The Atlanta Falcons are about to score here. I'm not happy about that, but I'm watching football. The drought is over.
It's preseason. You know, I never watch until it's real.
Oh yeah, shit! I forgot preseason is on. Damn.
Thank you so much to Jude over at Women's Standing. Thank you so very much. Jude's got us all done except for $25 for this past Monday. And that is just mind-blowingly wonderful. 25 more bucks in about 15 minutes, and that means we don't go into next week with an entire week of unfunded programs. Thank you, Jude. Thank you so very much.
Put me down for the 25, and as soon as I get this fucking bank shit squared away, I will get that 10 I owe to you. The whole thing is extremely frustrating. But
I understand. Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Whoa, that means we got 15 minutes to get started on Tuesday. That's mind-boggling.
And by the way, real quick, hockey. And the reason I made that comment about The Hague was the Hague would have no jurisdiction.
Well, I mean, I understood that to be why you were saying it.
Yeah. And again,
that's an inane comment, Steve. You're absolutely correct, and we shouldn't be doing that shit on our side. I would agree with that too.
And I just, you know what? I said I wouldn't say anything else, and I'm not going to.
I mean, the right wing does enough of that.
Oh, come
bullshit.
On, come on, Steve. You're among friends.
No, I said I wasn't going to say anything. I'm not going to. But what I will talk about is, I fucking did it again. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh,
high?
No, I don't do high. I've never been high in my life.
Okay, don't forget.
No, it was you posited the earlier. I was at the gym, but I was just listening. The free speech thing with the nutball. What might a free speech purist say about that? And sometimes I'm not comfortable with that position, but in this case, I have to say, the words alone, I'm not going to say I don't have a problem with them. I do. But I don't think the words alone, that there's no basis to prohibit the speaking of those words, number one. Number two, now, if the guy acts on those things, then you can use those words as motivation to add hate crime. Aggravation to the charges and the, well, not for the charges, but for the sentencing.
Oh, for the sentencing.
But I, you know, when I when I see this banning words for words' sake, I just, again, I remember the two examples I gave, or I don't know, maybe I didn't give these examples, that in the UK, during the whole kerfuffle,
the
Palestinians, but also during the Troubles,
right?
They wouldn't let anybody from Sinn Féin speak, number one, and the Palestinian thing, number two, and the fact that in a place like Canada, which has this prohibition on quote unquote hate speech, the government, the federal government, or any individual province can suspend any or all of the rights under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms for 5 years.
Well, and Steve, we're seeing in Italy right now, all the people going against what's her name, the new gal, they're all being hit with the charges.
Yeah. So we're speaking on it. Right? I understand where Robin's coming from, because this is contrary to what my position might be. In terms of it being black and white, I come out on the black and white, but sometimes it's difficult to get there.
Well, and I was actually thinking of you when I was doing the story at the beginning of the program, Steve, and I'd be interested to have your input on it. But I do want to go back because Micah just wrote in, and she said, going back to Scary Jerry getting banned for that... that comment, and Micah said, I was a Reddit moderator on a very large subreddit for a couple of years. I would have banned for that. And trust me, Micah is no Republican. And I think internet spaces where people are anonymous is maybe a different story. But you know, Steve, I'm interested in your take on this.
I didn't hear. You know what? For the first, real quick. I got that I forget to do this. My gym, part of it is in the basement, so my phone, and they have Wi-Fi, but I forget to turn it on. So about the first 4 or 5 minutes, I didn't realize. I'm like, I didn't realize I wasn't hearing anything until I thought, oh shit, I'm not hearing anything.
Well, the story is of a nasty little prick from the northern panhandle of West Virginia named.
Oh, no, yeah, no, yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, Pontifex Maximus, Reverend Hardy Lloyd.
Does he call himself that, actually?
Yes, yes. Yes. openly calling for the slaughter of Jews and people like me. And... our fetishized approach to the First Amendment, I guess, says that's okay because they arrested him on witness tampering and witness intimidation, but not hate crimes. Not hate crimes. Even though he went up to Pittsburgh and put stickers all over the place in Jewish neighborhoods calling for their slaughter.
I'm going to take the post down to the football game.
Hold on. Steve, go.
I would not. I think to prosecute somebody for putting things on a website and putting stickers up in a neighborhood are both protected speech.
How is not that? Like how it. Is that? How is that not fire in a crowded theater?
Because it's not. Because. Fire in a crowded theater, the reason that's prohibited is because you're in a confined space. That's the reason that's illegal.
I always thought it had something to do with the immediacy.
Yeah, or that's fighting words, I think, or inciting. But putting stickers, because I'll tell you what, I've lived in neighborhoods and been the only white person there, and why do you get out? It sucks, but you know,
that's a far cry from kill Whitey.
And again,
the problem with this kind of speech is that you only find out that it was incitement or that it had an immediate effect after somebody's laying on the ground bleeding.
And you know what? That, as far as I see it, that is an unfortunate, very, very, very horrible
price to pay for the First Amendment.
Price to pay.
Yeah, but see that, and I'm not being obnoxious, and I'm not being argumentative for the sake of argument. Thank you, Henry. Lo and behold, we're started on last Tuesday. Thank you, Henry.
when you said I'm not being argumentative, that he went, "Thank you, Henry." I didn't
want to let it go by. Well, we got 275 to go on last Tuesday. Thank you, Henry. But
bad cases make bad law.
Well, there's that, Ken. Absolutely, hard cases make bad law.
I don't think I've ever heard a clear, distinct definition of stochastic terrorism.
Oh, it's very clear.
Can anyone give it a shot?
I mean, I don't have the written definition in front of me here, but
now that to me, if you're a stochastic terrorist, that's not free speech, right?
Well, unfortunately, it is.
I think what Robin is describing would characterize that as stochastic terrorism.
Yeah, it's all.
And again, you know, I hope people understand that I'm not in favor of this, and I don't come at this.
And you're not condoning. But I know what I was going to get at. Maybe a month or more ago, I had a clip of Charlie Kirk at some sort of maggot conclave when he said, "Listen, it's horrible, but some dead kids in Uvalde is a pretty good bargain compared to our right to keep and bear arms."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, at the time that I was running the clip, it made the little hair stand up on the back of my neck.
And I agree with you on that. If for no other reason than the Second Amendment doesn't actually mean what they say it means. Number one. Number two, and Robin, if I'm interrupting, please tell me.
You're not.
Number two, I come at this, it's like I back into it. I don't like it, but I certainly don't trust the state, the courts, to draw that fine line.
And not step over it.
And to say, okay, here's the line. I'm not comfortable with that because you know, it almost has a Pastor Niemöller effect to it because I probably have this position more out of fear than anything else. I fear what the government can prohibit. Yeah. Does that make any sense? At least that's where I come from. It's not that I want these people to be able to say this. It's not that. It's that, and maybe it's a slip. What it comes down to, it's a slippery slope argument. What I am scared of is that, as awful as that is, if you outlaw the most disgusting things people say,
Who gets to be the decider of what's disgusting and not disgusting?
And then, You know who gets to decide? Society gets to decide through scorn, through it's perfectly legal for a restaurant. I'll give a perfect example. It's perfectly legal for a restaurant that if a person walks into a restaurant with a Trump, a Biden, whatever political hat on, the owner can say, "I don't serve people who have that, you know, of that political ilk."
Well, now you can, as long as you have a sincerely held religious belief.
Well, I don't, but I think you, For a political view, I think you should be able to. It's your business. Now, when it, particularly a smaller business, it's a First Amendment issue. You have the right to do that, fine. But then the public has the right to go on Yelp and tell people, to stand out in front of your establishment and say, this fucker is a bigot. Mm-hmm. This person discriminates against people because of their political views.
And you know what? There's an interesting case directly on point coming out of Idaho. Just a second. Because those assholes from Patriot Front who tried to, who jumped into a U-Haul in mm-hmm. Pride last summer, not this one, to beat the tar out of people at Pride in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Well, they're suing in federal court now, claiming that their First Amendment rights were violated by being doxxed by somebody who came in, found out their names, found out where they lived, and then made public who these ugly little Nazis are. And that now they've
lost their First Amendment right.
And now that they've lost their jobs and they're being harassed, and bless their hearts, the Idaho Statesman published an editorial, White Nationalist Patriot Front members sue for being exposed for who they are, and just lambasted them, saying, we don't condone doxing or searching for and publishing private or identifying information about an individual on the internet, typically with malicious intent. We are not weighing in on whether this lawsuit has merit, and we certainly don't condone breaking the law, which might be what's found to have happened here, as the members claim. That said, the five plaintiffs say they were fired from their jobs, have been threatened at their homes, and have had their tires slashed, all things that they would like to do to others, according to the lawsuit. While those two latter things certainly go way across the line, the first is a result of actions having consequences.
This complaint seeks to vindicate the rule of law and basic principles of free expression for persons who espouse unpopular opinions.
And we dealt with unpopular opinions earlier in this week, and it became the great Miracle Whip controversy. But the Idaho Statesman noted, it's a warped view of freedom of expression when Patriot Front members attempt to completely conceal their ownership of said expression. Their views are so detestable, they wear masks in public and use pseudonyms online to disguise their identities. Idahoans are perhaps more familiar with the Patriot Front from a 2022 incident in which members piled into the back of a U-Haul truck to try to disrupt, and my goodness gracious, that word's doing a lot of work, an LGBTQ+ pride celebration in Coeur d'Alene. More than 24 men were arrested and charged with planning to riot. Two of the three plaintiffs in this case, Colton Brown, 33, who led the Washington State's Patriot Front chapter, and James Julius Johnson, 37. My, that's one letter away from three names beginning with K. From Skagit County in Washington, were among the 31 people arrested, according to the Seattle Times. Johnson and four other men were convicted of misdemeanor conspiracy to riot and sentenced last month to a week in jail and a $1,000 fine. The Patriot Front suit does not attempt to hide its racist ideology and its mission to reforge our people born to this nation of our European race as a new collective capable of asserting our right to cultural independence, and says, we're provocative, but nonviolent. Well, they were, because they were nonviolent because they were caught and arrested in Coeur d'Alene. Otherwise, they were prepared to commit murder and mayhem. They've got a habit of defacing civil rights and pride murals, monuments, and signs promoting equality. And that's a lot. That's par for the course with these punk ass little pricks. Since 2019, Patriot Front has been responsible for the vast majority of white supremacist propaganda distributed in the United States, according to the Anti-Defamation League.
Really?
And the members of their own, and the members own their abhorrent opinions by trying to keep their identities a secret. They seem to be most upset that Capito was trying to hold them up to public scrutiny like the rest of us. So, is their lawsuit correct? Do they have a legal right to hide behind their masks and hide their identities, even though they're a gang of murderous punks, pricks, and thugs?
But here's the deal. You ask. I mean, I will answer. I will weigh in if you're okay. Let me say this. I don't see that that's what this is. You were out in. This is no different than when you walk down the street in public and someone takes a picture of you. You can't say I didn't give you permission to take my picture. Fuck you. You're walking down the street. These guys had somebody found out who they were, put their names on the internet. Tough shit.
They fucked around and found out.
Yeah, and fucked around and found out, and their employer found out, and their employer said, "I don't want you working here."
Yeah. You're a piece of fucking garbage.
They didn't say, I don't want you here because you're Jewish. I don't want you here because you're this. They said, a business said, I don't want you working here because the boss said, I find your views unpalatable. And in the end, you're going to hurt my business and possibly I have to put other people out of work. So go. Where the hell is the First Amendment?
But the First Amendment, as interpreted by our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties, says that if they have a sincerely held religious belief that they need to wear masks and espouse hateful rhetoric, that they've got a right to.
So they're a religion?
No. So, but then the business has a right to fire them.
They're a religion?
Well, the postal case this last term says that they don't.
But the postal case had to do with the religious belief.
The person who said online, but still speech, said their names. I don't know about what other personal information, obviously where they worked and what have you. That sounds like to me their expression of their First Amendment rights.
Boom.
So what, are we supposed to trample on those? The guy who outed the fuckhead Nazis.
Yeah.
So what, we're supposed to trample on their First Amendment right?
No, but
in order
right.
to protect the That's supposed right. First Amendment right of the Nazis? That makes
they
no sense.
A dictator faces no consequences. First Amendment, man.
Well, we have wound up having some Jim Dandy conversations. Darlene with a couple of notes. What if there actually is a fire in a crowded theater? Well, the rubric suggests that yelling fire in a crowded theater when there is no fire. Okay.
No, you have to sing the roof is on fire. The roof.
Oh my God. Don't make me time travel. The nights that I listen to them.
Give him a llama for that. Just a little llama. A slow llama climbing uphill.
The llama is exhausted.
Oh, can I don't know well, if you mentioned this, Robin.
Let me finish up with Darlene. Hang on. The problem is that business that denies certain patron service can't function without the public commons, without the roads, water, and sewer system infrastructure that the rest of us pay for with our taxes. True. Absolutely true. And you know, with every word that's been spoken in this little discussion this evening, we see more and more how our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties took a monkey wrench and threw it into the entirety of American society on the behest of a gang of tax-exempt grifters called the Alliance Defaming Freedom, who by their own admission, via released emails, admit that they are theocrats who wish to turn the United States into a nation run according to their religious principles. All of which is the exact antithesis of everything that the framers, originalism, envisioned.
The difference as I see it is we have made a political decision in the form of the Civil Rights Act of 64 and subsequent acts, state laws, to say you cannot discriminate based on these things. If you want to add political view to that, add political view. That's separate, at least as I see it, from the constitutional First Amendment argument. I don't see that as a First Amendment. If anything, if you're going to make it a First Amendment argument in that instance with these, Chris, was it Chris who said it? Chris, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
About violating the person who published.
Yeah.
It's no different than when you walk down the street in open day. And you walk down the street. You're walking down the street, and someone walks by and takes a picture of you. You might not like it, but they have a right to do so.
Well, how about somebody walking down the street screaming out the N-word, and then somebody coming up and saying, "Hey, you're a complete bigot, asshole," and publishing it out on Yelp or the internet or whatever.
Well, I mean, that's modern culture, Christopher. I mean, that's who's doing that?
Who's burping and farting and whatever?
Yeah. Please don't.
That was a burp.
Please don't.
Who's not muted? If you're not talking, mute.
But one last thing. Modern internet culture where everybody's walking around with a high quality digital camera in their pocket. You know, this is how the Karen phenomenon developed.
Yes. Thank God for it.
I mean, George Floyd would be dead, and what's-his-fuck would still be on the beat if it were not for people. And that's why in conservative states they try to pass bills that limit the right of the people to take video of cops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean...
they don't want that smoke.
No, they don't.
One of the first
things
that he wanted to put a 30-foot bubble around cops arresting somebody.
Yeah. So, Prog Dog, who...
Can I say one thing real quick about Hawaii?
Yes, please.
I don't know if you mentioned this, and this is very scary to me. I heard, I don't know, I think I read it in The Guardian, that the 55-person death toll...
is going to go a shit ton higher.
Because they haven't even begun to look for bodies inside of structures. People who died in their house, died in their apartment, died in a store.
Right.
This is just horrific. You know what it looked like to me? It looked like Hiroshima.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I want you to take this one, Steve, and then I gotta get out of here because I'm rapidly losing battery on this antiquated iPad that the Skype group's coming through. Prog Dog, who kind of began the program, now ends it with a question. I'm no legal scholar, so please explain how Governor Greg Abbott's actions at the Rio Grande do not qualify him to be tried at The Hague. What are crimes against humanity? As defined in the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court, crimes against humanity consist of specific criminal acts, including murder, rape, torture, apartheid, deportations, and persecution, among other offensive acts, when committed as part of a widespread or systemic attack directed against any civilian population, according to a state or organizational policy. These are among the gravest offenses under international law. Well, let's start, and then Steve, you can follow up, because you're the real lawyer. I'm not even one at all. Let's start with the fact that the United States is not signatory to the International Criminal Court. Now you go, Steve.
Okay. There is, and I actually looked this up specifically, the U.S. is not a signatory. Not only that, but the crime was committed in the U.S. So if a U.S. person, or like, let me step back. If a non-signatory commits a crime covered under the Rome Statute in a country that is a signatory to the Rome Statute, then that person is subject to the court's jurisdiction. It's the same thing as if you go to a state or a country where a certain law, a certain act may be not illegal in the U.S., but it's illegal there because you commit it within their borders, you can be prosecuted under their law. It's the same type of thing. That's the reason he can't be prosecuted, because the jurisdictional requirements of the Rome Statute say a non-signatory can only be tried there if the crime they commit is in a country who is a signatory. So, and I thought about this, where he did this, was it in U.S. waters or was it in Mexican waters? I don't know. I meant to look this up. I didn't. I don't know whether Mexico is a signatory to that.
It's on the U.S. side of the Rio Grande.
Okay. So in that case, there is no jurisdiction. Because it was committed in a country, in a place that has not consented to the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. That's why.
Makes sense. And you would think somebody on our side of the fence would be wise enough not to put the word Hague out there without...
Oh, and you know what, like Robin
incendiary.
Said...
You know, it's but incendiary.
No, like Robin said, if a person hears that, why not just try him here? And that's the other thing, too, is the ICC is a court of supplemental jurisdiction. It has supplemental jurisdiction, and what that means in the context of international humanitarian law is it only applies if the home country doesn't prosecute the person, or there's some strange nuance there. In any event, that's the reason that we can't you could not try the person in the International Criminal Court.
So Pooty Poot can fly anywhere he wants to his heart content, except for any country who is signatory to the International Criminal Court. Correct?
I mean, that's the legal thing. The reality is he can go anywhere he wants, because who's going to pick up the Russian president and then have
shootout.
It was enough to keep him out of South Africa.
I think he's a little scared about that.
Well, y'all, I gotta wrap this up before the iPad dies and everybody goes, "What happened to the group?" You know. By the way, Steve, you got a note from Jude. Our depth of what is occurring in Lahaina pierces me deeply. I've been in that banyan tree. Family has lived there, and generations of beautiful souls have been visited by devastation. The boots will be out each day. Grateful, Steve, that you return to this. See how this works? See how people get their lives touched? See what happens here? This is far more special than a show or an entertainment. We clown around and we have fun and we laugh. But like I said, it's so much more than that. And by the way, on the way out the door, Billable Rick, thank you for the cowbell. Without smartphone cameras, what's his fuck would still be on the beat?
Yeah,
I mean, it's true.
All three of them would, because I think all three of them are either fired or in jail.
And
or
God alone,
else.
And God alone knows how many more people, how many more, let's be honest, black people they would have murdered.
Well, let's add one last thing, and then I promise. Listen to what our black brothers and sisters tell us. They're not surprised at any of this. What they're saying is, you're only surprised what we have known a long time, because now you're seeing what was never on camera. And with that,
we'll close.
My soapbox is under.
Y'all, it has been a magnificent front porch. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for the emails. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors, all of you who stepped up this evening. I'm so grateful. You gave me a little bit of a breather over the weekend, and I appreciate it. So nothing's going to get turned off next week. Yay. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks, Roger, in the chat room. Hey, Steve, if you're out there somewhere, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. You and Miss Karen go somewhere and do something fun, okay? Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Every like, every subscribe, every comment helps grow the program a little bit at a time. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster if you're eligible. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots because they are a grimy lot and they don't give a damn about anybody but themselves, and they don't care much for themselves either, for that matter. They're willing to die for that orange, greasy orange stain. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. And of course, if somebody comes down the road towards you saying, Hunter Biden's going to make President Biden's re-election campaign even harder because now there's trials on both sides, avoid that both-sider like the plague, because they are. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody.